The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Lift your hands and let's thank God for his love this morning, or this afternoon. Thank him for loving you the way he has. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I'm expectant this day. Amen. Let's have our seats. Amen. So we'll try to. You know, today I was saying we're going to have a ministry class, but I don't know if we get there this morning. But let's see how it goes. You know, God owns his church. And he can do anything he wants to do. So let's just be going. Let's start from where we stopped yesterday. And let's see how it goes. This meeting will bless you tremendously. I'm telling you. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. What we are offering in these 30 days is a complete package. And so you don't need one and not need the other. Are you following me? You don't need one without needing the other. So yesterday, I was trying to show us, which we will still touch again this morning, on why should a believer desire to live long? Because we have seen that in Christ Jesus, the eternal life that he gave us also guarantees a long life. That is a long, satisfying life. That is a life where you live to fulfillment, right? Where you live to a point where you decide, it's time for me to die. And the life we have in Christ guarantees that kind of life is possible. Are you following me? And you better believe it. You better believe it. Because like we saw yesterday, it starts by what you know and what you believe. Because what you know and what you believe will affect what you expect. You see how David put it? He said, I would have fainted if not that I know, had I not known or believed, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's Psalm 27 verse 13. He said, I would have fainted. I would have given up. In other words, he was saying, a lot was going on with me. I would have actually given up. It's just because there is something I believe. That's why I'm still holding on. You know, tomorrow I'm going to have time to address this a little. Because the reason why some people really don't make it or break down in life is because they have a weak spirit. And that, I'm not talking about your spirit, man. Some people have a weak spirit. They have a weak heart. And that weakness of spirit starts from what you believe, what you know. What gives you strength is what you know. Are you following me? It starts from what you know. Some people are weak. They are weak spirited. Anything can take them out. Anything can take them out. I was telling my wife about this. How someone I know, because we'll talk about that tomorrow. How someone I know, took his life and all of that. And that was a man of God. Apparently he had trained a lady in school with the hope of marrying the lady. Then after school, the lady said, oh, she's not doing again. So he jumped down. Yes. From a high tree building and died. Painful story. And it touched me because this is a pastor. A man of God, I know. He knew the word. Like, it's not like he knows the word. Like, grace. Whatever you can call it, he knows it. Are you getting the point? And it's about having a weak heart. Weak spirit. Weak spirit. And that strength of spirit starts from what you know. So David is saying, I would have fainted. So he would give up too easily. He said, I would have given up even though that I believed something. So what do you know? And one of the things you've got to know this morning, for instance, that God wants you to live long. Very long. And that he can actually make you live long. He can. And not only can he has already deposited something in you that will ensure that if you so wish, you can preserve your life. And that's his life. Are you following me, friends? He has given us his life such that if we so wish, we can preserve our life. So it's good you want to live long. We're looking at why yesterday. I told you the first reason is because to start with, it is his will. It's his will to live long. It's his will for us to live long. It is God's will. And whenever you find true scriptures that something is God's will, you go after it. You go after it. And secondly, yesterday we saw that you should want to live long because, which is what I said, we'll come to this morning much later. I won't be closing if we get there. Amen. Because of your assignment. The major reason God wants you to stay long on earth is because he has something he wants you to do. God doesn't want us to just be alive and waste our time. Say, I'm just alive. So I was asking yesterday, why do you want to live long? People say, I really want to live long. Why? What's the reason? He said, I just don't want to live long. Is there any reason you want to live long? Because the major reason God is keeping you alive is because he wants you to do something. So we saw that in the life of Apostle Paul yesterday, which we're going to touch again this morning, how he was saying that he wants to stay longer. He said, so that he can be a blessing to them. So he was saying, I am caught between two opinions, either to go or to stay. He said, but because I want to be a blessing to you, he said, I will stay. So why do people even want to live long, if not to be a blessing? That's why, for real, we are teaching long life, but I can tell you, there are people that may live 40 or 50 years, but their life will have a lot more quality than people that have lived 100 years. Yes. Because the other people lived long, a useless long life, that never fulfilled anything. The major reason he wants you to stay. I showed you this. Why did God keep Noah alive that long? He had to build an ark. Why did Moses live that long? He had to lead Israel out of Egypt. He had to lead them. So it wasn't a useless life. It wasn't a life where just existing. Some are just existing. And all they have is, I'm 30 years. Then next year I'll be 31. Then before you know, I'll be 40. Then in the name of Jesus, I will be 50. Then I declare by 60, I will still be alive. I declare by 70. So the question, what are you going to be doing with all that life that God is giving you? Are you following me, friends? There's a reason God wants you to live long. And that is to the end that you will fulfill his agenda and his plan for your life. And I can take you through scriptures and show you everybody God kept that long. He kept them that long for a reason. Are you following me? He kept them to stay that long for a reason. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I gave you a thought this yesterday, that you have to want to live long also because of your obligations, your earthly obligations. The fact that you have kids to take care of. You have people to attend to. Because like I said yesterday, if you die early, you would have died without fulfilling many things God wants you to fulfill. But I can also add, your dying early will alter the life of certain people. If a husband dies early, he has altered the life of his wife forever. And vice versa. Are you getting the point? Because she has become a widow. Or the husband has become a widower. If it's his wife that died. You say, but they can remarry, but things can never be the same. Are you following what I'm saying? Things can never be the same. Which is why it's good that you contend for long life. You have things to do here. You have things to do here. You have kids to take care of. You have things to achieve. I showed you that scripture yesterday. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. And I told you, at least a good man has to see his children's children to leave inheritance for them. He has to even know them. But then imagine your life is cut short even before you know your children's children. That is a big problem. Amen. That's why I'm praying and I'm telling you that you will not die young. I'm just telling you. You can't try it. You will never sleep the sleep of death. That's in the Bible. You won't sleep the sleep of death. That is a sleep of death. Sleep, just die. Just slept and didn't wake up. That won't be your story. I said, that will not be your story. You will not sleep the sleep of death. The Lord will preserve your life. He will keep you long and strong. He will keep you long and strong. Your life will not be cut short in this prime. In the name of Jesus. He will preserve you for the assignment. He will preserve you for the assignment. He will preserve you for your obligations. In the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of death from every household, yeah? In the name of Jesus. The Lord is keeping you safe. Preserving your life. Preserving your life. Preserving your life. In the name of Jesus. Any family here that have been terrorized by death, that terror stops right now. From now, we speak life over your household. We speak life over your household. I speak life over your household. In the name of Jesus. Your house is preserved. Your life is preserved. In the name of Jesus. You've got to learn this. You've got to begin to speak also over your family. Because one of the things we are teaching your family do not know. And while you can mention it to them from time to time, but they don't know. Are you getting the point? I say, why is devil going after my family? Well, sometimes devil goes after your family also for your sake. Because anything that goes wrong with your family destabilizes you. Are you getting what I'm saying now? And affects your ministry. It destabilizes you totally. And that's not the plan of God. So somewhere in this teach maybe today or tomorrow, we will have time to pray over our families. Are you getting the point? To pray over your children, to pray over your siblings, to pray over your mother, your father, and everyone, that God will preserve them. Because I've taught you, we have the power of life and death. Not only over our lives, but even over the life of others. Where is that in the Bible? A lot. We see believers raising the dead. That tells us that believers have the power to stop death over another person. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 27 that as Paul was traveling, that the Lord told him he has given him the lives of people that were sailing with him. So God can actually give the life of people. Are you getting what I'm talking about now? He said, I've given you the life of people sailing with you. You know what that means? I've given you their lives. He told him, Acts 27, you will surely appear before Caesar. He said, what's more, I have given you the lives of people sailing with you. I want to think about that. And that's why when you realize some of these things, you come to a point where you make certain decisions in your home that this will not happen and that will not happen. Are you getting the point? He said, God had given the all them. So all of them on that ship, they were in Paul's hands. So God can actually give you the lives of people. Are you guys get what I'm saying now? He can hand the lives of people to you. You know what that means? You are responsible for their protection and their safety. So sometimes you've got to pray for your home. You've got to pray for your family. Never be prayerless. Because whether you like it or not, many people in your family cannot pray. You know, Abby? They can't pray. They don't even have light. In fact, everything will be saying that we should not do, they're exposing themselves to all those dangers. I guess what I'm saying this morning. So you've got to pray. That's another privilege of being a prayerful person. That you get to cover your people or your family in prayer. Because should anything go wrong with them, it goes wrong with you. Are you guys following what I'm saying now? What's wrong with you? The Lord is preserving your life. And he's preserving the life of your loved ones. He says he's preserving the life of your loved ones. One of the things the Lord began to show me in his word is that God does things by family. There was not one person God came to rescue in the Bible that he didn't carry with his whole family. When he came to rescue Noah, he made sure Noah brought his family along. I get the point. When he came to rescue Lot from Sodom, he made sure they brought a family. He always does things with family. You know why? Because we are emotional beings. I get what I'm saying. If something goes wrong with A, it goes wrong with everybody. It will destabilize you, at least for a season. Are you following me? The Lord will preserve your household. Amen. The Lord will preserve your children. Amen. The Lord will preserve your children. Amen. The Lord will preserve your brothers, Amen. Your sisters, Amen. Your parents, everyone that matters to you. Amen. The preservation of God rests upon them. Amen. They are not marked for death. Amen. And if they've been marked for death, we remove that mark. Amen. And we mark them for life. We mark them for preservation. In the name of Jesus. Take 1 minute and just pray for your home. Just feel that stuff. Just pray for your home all over this place. Come on, pray. Pray. Come on. Yeah, play the keyboard. Pray for your home. That God preserves them. That God preserves your loved ones. Pray all over this place. Pray all over this place. Pray for your children. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family. Pray for them. Some of us have been afraid that certain people in our families will lose their life. That fear has been rising in your heart. Shut down that attack of the devil now. Shut it down. If you've ever lost a loved one, you will know how much it can destabilize. So pray that God preserves your home and your loved ones. Shambara dinsko brandish kambre deskumbra taya. Pray, don't stop. Don't stop. I'm hearing that from the Lord. The Lord has given you the life of them that sail with thee. I'm hearing that. The Lord has given you the life of them that sail with thee. The life of them. I just sense there is a mighty deliverance happening this morning. In households. In households. Pray, pray. Call them by name. Speak safety over them. Call them by name. Speak safety over them. The wailing of death will not be heard in your household. The cry of death will not be heard in your household. Take this prayer seriously. The Lord ministers safety. The last one that happened will really be the last. The last one that happened will really be the last. I'm hearing that from the Lord for somebody. The last one that happened will really be the last. It will not arise a second time. It will not arise a second time. Mandala barate yakosha. Zabeleke parakate basombarataya. Shakapala kerabaten bratekoniash. Le karabasanta la baranta la bayanta la barunda ba. Eshoban karatusku baradiangash. In Jesus' name we pray. You got to pray that prayer from time to time. One of the ways God will answer this prayer, for instance, for some of us, is to begin to grant your loved ones wisdom. Because we're going to see it very soon, that is the wisdom it takes to preserve your life. That they will just be making right choices. It's one of the ways that God answers such prayers. You just find them making right choices. Deciding to do this, deciding to do that. One of the ways God answers it is to order their footsteps. To make sure they walk into right places. Are you getting the point? And make sure they avoid the wrong places. Your home is preserved. I say your home is preserved. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's have our seat. So God preserves homes. And the reason we should want to live long, like I was saying, is because of our earthly obligations. Our families to preserve, to look after, to pray for. Another reason you want to live long, like I was saying yesterday, is because sometimes, and really sometimes, you need to stay really long to see certain promises that God has made to you fulfilled in your days. We saw an example like that. That's the man Simeon. That the Lord told him that he was not going to test death until he sees. Are you following the point? Until he sees the coming of the Christ. So he had to stay long to see. So if Simeon had died earlier, he wouldn't have seen that prophecy fully in his days. And like I said yesterday, there are many things that God says to you that will not happen next year. And that's not because you did anything wrong. That's because that's just his timing. Are you following me, friends? Now, many things God says that will not happen next year. Some of them will happen next 10 years. By his divine timing. Are you following me? By his divine timing. So it will happen next 2 weeks, next 2 years, next 20 years. I know it like I know my name. That there are certain things God has told me about this church that will not happen next 5 years. It's something I just know. Now, some of them is not just because some of them we are the ones delaying it. Some of them is our mistake. But sometimes it is just in his plan that it will come at that time. Some of them, other factors are delaying it. But whatever be the case, you have to stay long to see them happen. What if you die just suddenly like that? All the Lord has said to you, it will not happen in your days. Are you getting the point now? There are a few things God has said to me concerning this ministry. If I had died 5 years ago, I wouldn't be seeing these days. Are you getting the point? And that's why you've got to contend for long life. You've got to contend for long life. Because God has plans, so God has plans for your life. He has plans for your life. One of the things I've told myself is anything God has said concerning me that will happen in my days, I will see them in my days. Now, if there are things God has said to me that, oh, it will not happen in your days, it will happen much later, fine. When you are gone. You know, there are things like that. Like God told David not to build a temple, that's all, you know, all of that. So God can actually tell you things that will happen much. I get the point. But anyone he has told me that will happen in my days, I will stay long enough to see it. Wherever he has said this ministry we get to, in my days, I will stay long enough to see it happen. These are things you should say. Are you getting the point? There are things God will tell you about your children that you have to stay long enough to see them become all of those things. Not in your absence. Not in your absence. You pray and God tells you this, that about your business, about where he's taking you to, about how he wants you to change the world, to change Africa,
How he's going to take you around the world preaching the gospel. You've got to start alive to see those things happen. Are you following what I'm saying now? Shows you about your business that from being small, you're going to become great. Let me even say this to you. If you do not stay long enough on earth, you might not become as great as God wants you to become. Because with God, the future is always better. And so if you get to live early, there are many things God has designed for you. So they will not say, oh, he just died small. But he was never meant to die small. Just that he didn't stay long enough to actually see the future God prepared for him. But that will not be my story. I thought you'd be talking loud. I said, that will not be my story. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we began to look at how to live long yesterday. We've touched a few things. I'll just continue from there. How to live long. I ended yesterday by telling you to learn the operations of divine healing. You can play if you want to. Yes, you can play. I just raised the mic because it's not giving what I want, so we can sound better. Amen. So I said you should learn the operation of divine healing. That's the last thing I said yesterday. Because why should you learn the operation of divine healing? Because actually, at different times, your health will be attacked. And if you've not learned how to interact with divine healing, right, you know, you might just die sick. Which will not be God's will for you. So learn how divine healing works. Learn how to release your faith. I said it and I'm saying it again. At different times in your life, every human being will be needed. Will need at certain times of his life to release faith for healing. I'm just telling you. At different times. Your own may be coming now. Your own may come next 5 years. And that's not bad prayer. That's just the reality. That we are living in a fallen world. And so at different times, you will need to stand strong and release faith for your healing. So learn it. Are you getting the point? I say this, I want to repeat it again. There are certain subjects that you must bring yourself back to at least once every year. There must be a season in your life that you focus on certain subjects. I can give some examples. Subjects of faith, for instance. How to walk in faith. Subjects around ministry. Things like divine leading. Things like healing. These are some things that you must bring yourself to at least once every year. To relearn. Are you getting the point? To refresh yourself. New creation realities. To refresh yourself. At least once in a year. Because if you don't do that, you might forget it. You might forget it. And forgetting this is not just forgetting that I have, you might still be able to recite, healing is working in me. But you've forgotten it for real. Because the whole essence of it no longer makes sense to you. Notice that whenever you restudy a subject, it's like it comes alive again. Are you following what I'm saying now? So you must restudy them from time to time. From time to time. So that's why, like I said yesterday, a diligent pastor makes sure that these important subjects and areas of life comes up in his teachings every year. That's why if you are in church and you have a problem with repetition, then you have a problem with growth. Yes, because a good pastor must repeat himself often. When I mean often, he must repeat himself all his life. Because the problems of life don't change. They are the same issues every year. Are you what I'm saying? So we must teach year in, year out on some subjects that must be repeated. MUST must be repeated. Like things about healing, we must repeat it again and again. Are you following me, friends? Things about faith, we must repeat the subject of faith again and again. So that's why somewhere in the course of this teaching, even though we've been talking about faith all the while, you know, everything I've been sharing with you from the one has been impacting faith into you. But there is also a possibility that before the end of this teaching, I'm going to find a way to zero in on faith again. Because that's actually how to do life. Are you following me now? So find out how healing works. Next thing I'm going to say, we're coming to today now. Are you still here? Are you still here? How to live long. How to preserve your life. How to take of the life of God in you. And preserve your life. I'm continuing from yesterday. Learn to follow divine leadings. Learn to follow divine leadings. Learn to follow divine leadings. I hinted at yesterday, and it's important I give it time today. You actually are not planning to live long if you take divine leadings carelessly.
One of the major ways that God will preserve your life, one of the major means of life preservation, is following divine leading. One of the major. It will preserve you to an extent that you don't know. That's why I said earlier that you should learn to pray for your family. Because many of them don't follow divine leadings. But you see, following the leading of the Spirit per time, every step on the way, is a great thing. Is a great. Look at, in how was Jesus' life preserved? Do you know Jesus would have been killed as a baby? He said, no, it's not possible. The will of God must prevail. Well, God thinks it's possible. That's why in Matthew chapter 2, he told Joseph and Mary to carry the child and run. He said, why did he ask him to run? Because he knew it was possible that they could kill him. That's the point I'm trying to make. He knew it was possible. So in that situation, he took the divine leading of the parents. The parents being able to pick what God was saying. That's Matthew chapter 2 verse 13. To be able to preserve the child. And that's why in raising your child, you want the children to live long. Learn how to follow divine leading. Because at different times, the Lord will lead you in ways that will keep them safe. Is someone following me this afternoon at all? If you don't know how to listen to the leading of the Spirit, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You know, I was saying it yesterday in passing. How that even the world naturally is not even safe. How you are not sure whether going down that road, whether this or that will happen. Now, the response to this is not to live in fear. The response is to follow divine leading. Are you getting the point? Like I mentioned yesterday, how that some of these big supermarkets, you heard me say that yesterday, that they even, you know, somebody was telling my spiritual mom in confidence how that where she walked, they will get some of this. Okay, what's the letter? She saw it on Facebook. Yes, 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 I remember. How that they will get some of these baby products, even when they're expired, they will clean the expiry dates and write new ones. It's painful because it is baby products. Maybe it is adults. We could know that you are wicked, but not too wicked. Maybe at least your wickedness has conscience. But children that you know, they can easily be upset by anything. I get what I'm saying. Anything can upset a baby. Anything. They change the date. They don't want to make money. That's how life is. So, should I now enter supermarkets thinking, how much they didn't change? Let me see the expiry date. Did they change it? You can't even be that careful. Because these guys are smart. I follow what I'm saying. How many of you know that even in this state and many other states in Nigeria, every of these popular brand of drinks that you know have places where they make them locally, the fake of it. Are you aware? And it's not hidden. Even the government parastatals are aware this place exists. They settle them. And they carry the same branding. The same everything. Scratch that thing. They say you should scratch. Their own will show. You know, they say, scratch it to know if it is real. Scratch it to show. Say, how will it show? It is the same container that I use. The same labels. Are you following what I'm saying now? They say, scan it to be sure. Scan it to show. That is original. So how are you going to know that you're not killing yourself? The validating is such an underrated subject. We don't talk about it enough. And it's just amazing how many Christians live their life without, you know, you think this world is as safe as you think. You know, there are a lot of things divine leading can do. I'm just narrowing it down to safety. It can preserve you in many ways. It can preserve you. That's why one of the things I'm going to tell you is this. Follow divine leading. If God just, you might not even know why. He just says, don't go there, go there. Fine. Yes, Lord, just go. Do it. I just feel in my spirit, because that's how the divine leading comes. It's a prompting in your heart. I just feel in my spirit that we should go this way. Please go that way. Now, learn to have prompt response to divine leadings. Don't waste time. Once you just sense it, you know it's not as though you're afraid. You just sense. Follow it. Follow it. That's one of the things that will keep you safe on earth. So how was Jesus preserved? The angel came and said, carry this child and go to Egypt. He said, couldn't God have intervened and preserved him if he wouldn't have intervened? That's why he said, take the child and run. So they ran to Egypt. At the time he was telling them to run, and that's why sometimes God speaks to us ahead. At the time he was telling them to run, Herod had not yet announced that he would take out the children. See, imagine Joseph was saying, why are we running? Who even knows that will give birth to this child? I'm sure it was as they were running on their way, they now heard the announcement. In fact, how was Herod not able to even know where Jesus was? Divine leading. Those shepherds, when they got to Jesus' place, they slept and the Lord told them, do not go back to Herod. Yes. So if they had gone back to Herod and told Herod, look at where Jesus is, so they would take him out. So God used several leadings of the Spirit to preserve that boy. Just, I get what I'm talking about, friends. So he led the shepherds right. Is it the shepherds that be the wise men? The ones that went to Herod, right? He led them right. And thank God they obeyed. Because if they didn't obey, so they obeyed. Hallelujah. See, they were being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed to their own country. To another way. Yes. And then Jesus also, the disciples, the parents, Joseph and Mary, we also warned. And they obeyed. So it took divine preservation, it took divine leading to bring about divine preservation. And so I'm telling you, dear parents and intending parents, you must be able to know, to follow divine leading, not only for your life, but for the sake of your kids. So that you don't put them in a school where their lives will be destroyed. So you don't pack into an environment where they will meet somebody that will father them in sin. You know, sometimes it's just one person that the child needs to meet and his life will be messed up. Some of you ever remember the person that messed your life up now? Yes. Just one person. Sometimes. And the same way, it's just one person that a child needs to meet and their life will follow the right trajectory. Some of you are doing what you are doing now because you met me in your secondary school. Yes. So obviously something told your parents to take you to that school they took you to. Partly because God knows that he was going to send me to that place. And we had to meet. I'm telling you. Do you know that simple detail would have altered your life? I get what I'm saying. I'm telling you. Some of you that met me in your secondary school or even in university. That simple detail. He said, God would have sent another person. God doesn't actually do things like that. We've not found out. Say, God would have sent another person. And that's one thing this is a statement of rebels and dishonorable people. He said, God could have used, if it's not you, God would have used another person. It doesn't always work like that with God. I've told you yesterday, it is hard to raise somebody that will be used. Thanks God a lot. So God knows. So we ordered your steps, ordered your parents. Imagine they had missed that detail. Imagine when they were saying, let's put him in. What school did you go to now? Let's put him in that. Let's put him in that school. They say, I'm thinking, there is this good school in Ogun State. Let's tag and become a brother there. You might have come back a marine spirit. Now, seriously though, one of the cases we are handling recently, that I believe God is intervening in her case. Amen. Young lady got into whatever she got into, hostel. And today it's a full-blown case of insanity. Real life stuff. Full blockers of insanity. How did it start? Who's there? Somebody just told me that you are going to join something. I said, okay, I will join. I didn't even know what we are joining. And they say you will now be the treasurer. I thought it was a club and a group, and that was it. Now I'm telling you some of these simple choices. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I want to say this to you. Every time you are doing something and you find out that this one is not in God's leading for my life, please turn back immediately. Don't negotiate it. Don't even think of what people say. Just turn back and start running back. Let your leg be touching your head. I'm telling you. As in, even if you've gone, you started business, and you've gone very far, it's even booming, and you just found out that God did not lead you here, just turn your back and start moving back. Because there are a lot more consequences in that than you actually know. Okay, if you are doing relationship, and you've gone very far, love is already there, and you find out God is not in this thing, turn back. Say, she will cry. All of you will cry. But the crying ahead is more. Are you following what I'm talking about now? And the consequences are more. You know, when people think about marriage, they think about only themselves. Marriage is not only about both of you. No. A lot more is affected. You guys get into a toxic marriage. You guys quarrel. They say, me, I flat out to cope with that. I beg. We'll just find a way to do it. Will your children also learn how to cope with seeing their father and their mother bigger at each other every day? How would they learn how to cope with that? Do you know what it will shape them into? So don't do all this. I just know that if you just find out that it's not God's will, do a U-turn. Immediately. Immediately. He said he will feel bad. Let him feel bad. Sister, let him feel bad. You will feel bad too. Both of you will feel bad. But can I tell you something? Both of you will eventually be fine. I give you 10 years. You'll be married, he'll be married. Everybody will be fine. Yes. Now, it's a serious matter. Because these are things that preserve life. People who enter marriage this way, they beat them to death. That's also wrong leading. They didn't listen well to the Holy Ghost. They enter, they beat them to death. So, you can connect many things about preservation to divine leading. Many things. Are you following me? Go to this hospital, don't go to that hospital. He said, let me tell you, don't be careless. Right? Once you're pregnant or your wife takes in, begin to pray by divine leading. Lord, which hospital do we go to? Don't say there are many good hospitals. Just ask God to tell you. Now, of course, I've taught you. It doesn't mean God is going to mention the name to you and say, my son, there is a hospital. It can happen like that, but it mustn't. You can also search out good hospitals. And I think I like this one. Then take it to prayer. See how your spirit responds to it. Because your husband or your wife or whoever, getting into one wrong hand can terminate their life. And that wrong hand may not be that it's not experience. It might just be careless. I get what I'm saying. Just one careless doctor can end everything. One careless doctor. While we were growing up, I know a friend whose uncle died coming down from the north. They've even gotten home. And they've come from the Rando Bola for so had an accident. Serious matter, but it wasn't that serious. Carried him from Obolafo to a hospital in Osaka. I won't call the name. Because they brought the guy, dropped the guy there. The guy was there bleeding. Nurse will pass. Doctor will pass. Nurse will pass. You know, have you ever been to all those hospitals? Nurse will pass. Doctor will pass. Nurse, like, hey, yeah. The guy died in the morning. Yes. You know, there are just simple. He was just shouting. When I went there, I was a junior boy, junior school, but it sticks my mind. Why didn't we take him to this other hospital? Why didn't we? They said, what's in our car but the best? You know that kind of talk. Simple steps. I follow what I'm saying. It reflects in every simple detail. Every simple detail. Let God, you get what you take him, let God lead you, even in that big hospital, let God lead you to the exact doctor you've been interacting with. I feel I'm saying now. And it reflects in everything. Not everybody should know your life history and your medical history. Not everybody can handle it. You know, I've been paying attention to the life of some of these guys we call Word of Faith people that live really very long, very long. They have some intentional things they do. They have personal doctors. Some of these personal doctors, I'm telling you, are personal, spirit-filled, qualified doctors. Yes. And they are deliberate. Nobody can touch them if not those doctors. That's where they live, the way they are living. You can't be careless with your life. There's a leading of God in your heart. Listen to it. And can I say this to you? Without much prayer, He will always lead you. In fact, let me tell you, you don't need prayer for God to lead you. You just need prayer to know He's leading. Because He's always leading. No good father You know why people say, you know, God will not lead if you don't pray. That's not true. When you talk like that, you are saying something like, if you and your child are not in talking terms, and you see him going to jump in the road, that you won't call him back. Will you not call him back? With all the anger in your heart. Alex! Come on, get out of that road. You are angrily calling him back. I get the point. Angrily calling him back. God leads whether you are prayerful or not. But being prayerful will help you to be able to know what his leading is and to be able to obey and adjust to his leading. Are you following me? Let me tell you a secret. We said something, because one of the men we need to study very well in case of long life is David. Not because he lived the longest, but he lived a very dangerous life. From being in the wilderness and wherever with lions and bears, to meeting Goliath, to fighting 60 something battles in his life. I showed you that, right? Over 60 battles in his life, in one lifetime. This is not war start. You know war start? This is not wrestling. Real battles where they will go and fight and come back. And he didn't lose one. He was not even injured once. Now, you should study such a man. One of the things you learn about him, when I was studying, the Lord said to me, don't you observe, David never went any useless battle. He knew battles not to fight. In 1 Samuel, for instance, chapter 30, verse 8, I've shared that with you. When he came back and he found out that they had captured his entire household, the natural thing to do would have been, let's go and rescue them. He still asked the Lord, shall I pursue? Look at that. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? I want to be sure. Will I go to this battle? Will I win? Are you guys following me this morning? Will I win? I just don't want to go to any kind of battle. Tell me if I win or not. That was the secret of his preservation. He didn't go to any battle carelessly. It's not what they said, I'm fighting. They said, we're not going to agree. He knew when to agree. He knew when to match break. And how, when to match break is in your spirit, man. You must know what not to do. You must know what not to do now. You must know what you can stay away from now. Let me tell you, some ministers even die prematurely because they begin to do what they are not supposed to do now. And so what happens is the burden becomes too much on them, they cannot carry it, and they die. Yes. Are you following me, friends? Give me an answer of this verse. He says, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Look at this. David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? Will I catch them? You know, this is the time. That's why Brother Egan always tells us, it's better to be slower than God than to be faster than him. This is like they came back, they had carried their people. The right thing would have been run fast before, because as they are busy wasting time saying, shall I catch them? Shall I catch them? They would have gone very far. But it had to be sure. Some of us, is already when we are running, we are not saying, Lord, should I pursue? You've made your choice. Wait and hear from the Lord. Know what he wants you to do. Don't already be doing, I love you with a man. You guys already said, I love you, I miss you, I'm married. And I say, Lord, what do you want? Oh God, you've made your choice. You don't want God to lead you. Are you following me? Before you pursue, ask Lord, shall I pursue? Yes. Because some of you, when the Lord eventually says this cannot work, it is difficult. Because you've gone too far. Imagine David was already running with all his soldiers. And while they are running, he's saying, priest, consult the Urim and the Thummim. Shall I pursue? And they say, don't pursue, you will not catch them. He will not tell. Everybody, please wait to. Just destabilize your troop. You know, and this why this scripture stands out for me. Do you know why? See the previous. Do you know what happened in the previous verse? It wasn't like everything was fine. They captured everybody. Move again. Previous verse. Continue. David was greatly distressed. No, go. Go to verse 6. You are right. He was greatly distressed. Why? The people spoke of, they wanted to stone him. You know why? You know, everything rises and falls. Everything that goes wrong is on the leader. They captured him. Even that David's two wives, especially that one that he liked very well, Abigail.
So how do you know he likes him? Like, go to the previous verse. So you say that he liked the guy very well.
David's two wives were taken captives. And you know, I'm the Jezreelite. And Abigail, not Abigail. Do you remember that Abigail? The wife of the fool. Remember that about the fool? He liked that lady. Everybody was captured. Now, so while under that pressure himself, the people also say, you are there, they took our wives. They wanted to stone him. He still had enough sense.
Are you got what I'm talking about? To say, even though there is pressure on every side, but wait, should we go on this? Are you following me?
And that was the secret of, he didn't lose any battle. He didn't lose no battle. He wasn't even injured. He would never finish a battle and start going for treatment. He was just fine. Because he knew the battle to go to and the battle to run away from. And it's by the Spirit. You don't want to be eating your money. This is a secret. Know the business to put your money in. And they want to say bye-bye. Even if you guys make profit, enjoy the profit alone.
Are you following me?
Must know such things. Even if you guys are blowing, blow alone. On this one, just blow. Just be fine. Me, I'm fine. So what if after all of that, you find out that they made it? Be fine. Let me tell you, never regret that you didn't, that you followed God's leading. The thing is this. He said, well, I didn't do that. But they later made money. He later worked. There are many other things that God saved you from that you may not know. Yes. But what if there is somebody God doesn't want you to meet that is inside that business? That if you had met, you would have made money. But in the next 15 years, that person will stand up to be the one to mess your life up and lead you through a path. You actually can't be wiser than the wisdom of God. All you have to be sure is that he's the one leading you. Anything God leads me to do, I'm not afraid or ashamed or angry at the consequence. I'm not. Whatever be the consequence, it doesn't bother me. So if God tells me to do something now, and then we do it, and for some reason that thing the Lord said we should do takes our membership down by half, I'm not going to feel bad. I'm telling you. Once I am sure that the Lord said we should do this, I'm not going to feel bad. And you're going to see that in the next 3 years, there will be a spike. Because we're in order with God's Spirit. In fact, Moses, when he takes that membership down, what he did, he removed the unnecessary people. Imagine if you are Jesus. That you said what God said you should say, your members left. Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, in the after that feeding, that's over
20,000 people fed, right? But about 5,000 men. The Bible said by the next verse, next chapter, all of them had come. In fact, they came with more people. The same people he fed. So the crowd was like over 30 or 40,000 now.
And the Bible said, Jesus told them, I know you did not come here because of miracle. You came because of that bread you ate last time. So it was the bread. You know, just think of that as sharing food. You know, food attracts, as always. So from having close to 20,000 people, there were now thousands of people. I thought about, I know why you guys came. You came for the bread. He now told them, I am the bread of life. Except you eat my bread, my flesh, and drink my blood. The Bible said, everybody left. So Jesus lost all his members, apart from 12 men, in one day. Is somebody listening to me at all? In one day, doing something that was right, saying something that was not wrong. So, when all of them left, the Bible said, not only did the crowd leave, many of his disciples went back. Now, the crowd leaving is one thing. But disciples, like students, these are people that have graduated from PGTI. Who we are done. Are you getting what I'm saying? People who we are really, he could call, oh, that's my son. That's my son. All of them went. We said, we don't know what pastor is preaching today. This man is a cannibal. What's all? We should eat your flesh. Drink your blood. They will have life in us. My mother warned me about this church.
And they left.
Only 12 we are left. The average Nigerian pastor that said, I don't go talk spoil. Imagine the newspapers the next day. Popular Jesus Evangelical Ministry loses members in one day because he told his members to eat his flesh
I hereby call on the police to investigate this matter, whether this man is a cannibal or a flesh eater. All of that all over the place. Then Jesus turned and looked at the 12 and saw them with him. And he asked them, will you also go away? Give me another translation. This guy was tough. Are you also going? He was asking, when I won't come out too. But you know, this particular experience played a major role in the formation of those disciples, those 12 guys. Look at the answer Peter gave them. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We may not understand what they're saying, but we have no other place to go to. Yes. It played a role. If you follow divine leading, you are sure you follow, do not feel bad about the consequence of it. I mean, even if you lose money in the process, even if you lose people in the process, but at the end of the day, it is for your preservation. In one way or the other, you may not know. You may not know. Are you guys following me now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, be like David. Find what God wants and just do it. Do you want us to run? Let's start running. Are you following me? There are times that robbers could come to attack you. And God will tell you plainly, stand strong and confront them. That's just the leading in your heart. And you say, in the name of Jesus, drop your weapon. And they drop it. There are such times. There are other times that robbers will come to attack you. And the leading in your heart is to run. Are you following me? Run. Once you get it, Lord has blessed your feet. Beautiful feet. Just make sure this your heel is touching your head. Run. You say, why will God tell us to fight? Just run. When you get there, you are going to. Well, it's by divine leading. You just read in the Bible that they carried the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The I am that I am. They carried him to run. And God is saying you should run. If I am that I am, run. Who are you that you are that will not run? Are you following me now? Yes. It's leading. Sometimes I will tell you to stay strong and confront them. Amen. Once in my life, once or so, have my phone been collected in a robbery. And that I knew. I was with somebody, I was with a man of Ojibwe that day. You get the point? And we were going to church. And there was this chaos. Everybody, bah, 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 bah. And I've experienced many, many spiritual deliverances. I've confronted robbers more than once. You people know the story now. Yes, one of those things. Midnight, I just passed there and told them, how are you guys doing? They were like, what are you doing by this time of the night? I said, I'm going to. You know that story, Abby? Robbers with guns. Like, people were laid down all over the place. And I came there, spoke with them, passed. Nothing happened. I've had that experience. I've worked with Rochema here. And this guy was with gun, was following us at the back. Stop there. Stop there. And I told him, don't stop. Don't talk. Don't stop talking. Keep discussing what we were discussing before. Yes. And it was around 1 a.m. in the midnight. You are wondering, what are you doing? Even me, I'm wondering what you are doing on the road. I said, just keep talking. So we're just sitting, yes, you know. And we're not even talking about something spiritual, just talking normally. So the guy was, I said, stop there. We're just saying, you know, that guy, now, we didn't talk, we didn't shake. So he now shot the gun. Yes, if you ever shoot gun close to you, then he now shot. I told him, just keep doing what you're doing. We didn't even move. Yes, so when I was see that guy, that what? Now that was the leading in our hearts then. I get what I'm saying. After some time, he just turned back and left. I guess he also became afraid. Say, who are these two people? But we didn't think that up in that moment. We didn't say, let's just be so that he'll become afraid. We didn't think it up. We were just moving. But on this very day, I was with him, with Premono Fojebe. I was just moving, and then there was chaos. I was already late for church. So I told him, I said, and the problem is, that was the last day of one of our major conferences. I think that was the first Zoe that we had. Something like that. Is that the first Zoe? One of those, that worship, one, those weekend meeting we had. Early days of church. So I asked him, I said, do you have a phone? He said, no, he doesn't have a phone. So I knew that the only thing that was on my hand, that the only valuable thing we had was my phone and maybe my wristwatch. So there were people running up and down. I told him, let's go. The other option was I've been to go home, but I just felt, let's go. And as we were going, I knew I was going to lose my phone at that moment. So I just got there. The guy said, why are you going? I said, I'm going to church. He said, let me have your phone. I said, can I take my SIM card? He said, no, let me have your phone. I gave him. He passed. He kept moving. Yes. Now that was also God's deliverance. Now that was what I wanted to do at that point. See, amen. That's what God wanted me to do at that point. That was some of those experiences. If you follow the divine, now I don't have all the details why he will lead you this way this time and lead you. I've also been in a place trying to board a bus. Some of you know the story. And a young guy came and told me, you better don't enter. Start going home. Go elsewhere. Go elsewhere. I ignored him. Go elsewhere. If you're not born very well, that's Umeze Junction. Go elsewhere. I said, which one is go elsewhere? Now, I lived at Obe then. I was like, which guy? I'm going to Obe. The guy came out again. That junction they used to watch, there's a viewing center for football matches. Came and said, Pastor, no good deal. He doesn't know me from anywhere. I said, why? He said, I'm just telling you. I said, yeah. I was waiting for boss. The next thing I heard in my spirit was, turn! Go to Dave, your friend's house. Go there. I turned immediately. Then I turned to leave. Police arrived there. Packed everybody. They would have arrested me too. Now that's what I'm going to. Because they were packing everybody. And because I was already on the move, the guy came to me. Where they go? Where they go? Who you be? I said, good evening. Always use good English. It helps. I said, good evening. I'm just coming from, because I went on an assignment. They said, I'm coming from a pastor's house. I'm actually going. It's okay. Just go. If they come that side, though, make sure you don't pass before we reach there. I said, okay. He left. Why I ran? But that wasn't the deliverance. The real deliverance was around school gates. There was a heavy robbery taking place. People were being shot. That's why police were just raiding everywhere. They could, you know Nigeria police now. So anyway, they could find boys. They were just packing everybody. So God made sure I didn't go there. So I have many stories like that. What I'm saying is, it will not come in the same way. Sometimes it will be wrong. Sometimes it will be don't leave the house. Sometimes it will be just keep moving. I'll keep you safe. Just keep moving. Are you getting the point? Sometimes it will be the point where you tell them, shoot. The problem is, the reason why these people say this don't work, that they don't know that it's by divine leading. Yes. They could point gun, I don't want the spirit of might to just rest upon you at that season. You say that your gun has stopped working now. And Bishop said one day they came to attack them in the house, and the Lord told them to run. He told the wife, we are running. And the wife said, you? He said, you know that's Bishop now. Fearless, fears nothing. Say you, he said, yes. Say, we're running now. Back door. Move. But there are cases. Somebody has actually pointed the gun at me and say, what's that? He can tell you that's in your hand now is now wood. It will no longer work. That's a Bishop for you. But this time they came, said, we are running. He said, you, he said, yes. When your leader say we are running like that, run along. Just run along. So it's not about formula. I get the point. God preserves us by divine leading. So that you go buy a product. Sometimes you may not even know. If your child uses the product once or twice, you just notice and you just feel this strange thing in your heart. Let's stop using this product. Just stop. I get the point. It might be you. So I just felt this soap I'm using, I just felt we should stop. Just felt I should stop. Say why? Say nothing. I just felt uneasy about it. Say, but it's good. It's working on your skin. I know. But I just felt we should stop. That may be your preservation. It's now about 15 years after. You now hear that soap causes cancer. And everybody that use that soap that having skin cancer now. Is it way? God preserves us. And that's the beauty of this God life we live. That He makes sure He leads us. So He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what did He say? I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. The staff is for leading. He leads you out. One of the ways He takes care of you in the fellowship of that is that He will lead you out of it. We have to listen to Him. You have to listen to Him. So if you've not mastered to follow the valley, that's why that book, that my book on how to find and follow, how to find God's will for your life and everyday living, is one of the most important books we've ever written. It will stay for generations. Yes. But it's a timeless truth. What are timeless truths? Truths that will be truth for every generation. Timeless truth. If you've not read it, get that book and preserve it. So that when we say we are no longer printing it, you will not say, oh, I wish I had it. Those things should be preserved. I get to the point. So that you will know where to go. It preserves in many ways. So you see that in David's life, it preserved him. So long life has a lot to do with divine leading. Are you following me? Divine leading. There are many other examples I can give you. But divine leading. In Acts 27, why those guys almost lost their lives was because they didn't listen to Paul. Paul told them, don't live here. Don't live here. Stay. But they say, because who are you? Are you a trained sailor? They ignored him. On the way, things were getting bad. And so he now told them, sirs, this first place told them, I perceive. No, don't get anywhere. I'm sensing this is going to go bad. They ignored him. Ignoring divine leadings can put your life in danger. Are you following me? Sir, but it wasn't Paul that disobeyed here. Yes, and this is a very big lesson in this place. I'm just showing you. Paul got a word that this was going to go bad. But at that point, he wasn't the one controlling the ship. So they disobeyed. So God had to find another way to come through for him. I get to the point. There's a lot of lessons I could show you from here. That's why if you're a wife, and I just had to say this, because in this situation, this was Paul, who wasn't in charge of that ship. But he had this leading. They didn't listen. A wife just said, leading, we should not go here. The husband said, I don't care. What should you do? Go back to God in prayer. He will find a way to redirect the matter. Because what eventually happened was, obviously they disobeyed and kept moving. Finally, they lost the sheep. But they didn't lose their lives. So God still found a way to protect and preserve His servant. So everything is not fight. Are you following me? Yes. Because in this case, He wasn't in charge. Everything is not fight. Paul would have said, I'm telling you, this sheep is going to go down. In fact, if you guys know, I will jump out of this sheep. You will now die properly. Are you following me? Everything is not fight. So he had a genuine leading, but he wasn't in charge of that sheep at that time. And God understood that. So he just told them, but they kept going the way they were going. But notice he went back to pray. And the angel of the Lord came to him and told him, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. Just that this time, because of the decision they've taken, they will lose the sheep, they will lose their properties. But I'll keep you safe, and I've given you their lives. It was that I've given you their lives. God had to find a way to preserve them. I guess what I'm saying now. But it's by following the validity that we are preserved. Probably the example of this was Elimelech. You know Elimelech? Elimelech, the husband of Naomi. There was a famine in the land. They left. That's the book of Ruth. They left and went to Moab. And settle there. He had two children, Mahlon and Chilom. And while they were there, you know, Malon and Chilom got married. Elimelech died. Malon died. Chilom died. They went there, full family. They were left with nothing. If not that, the Lord just brought Ruth to comfort that woman. I feel what I'm saying now.
If they had just stayed back, because it was now when everybody died that they now heard that the Lord had prospered the land. So they had to start going back. Everything, now that's what I'm going to say to you. One of the ways to stay long is stay in God's will. If everybody's traveling, say it's time to jackpa, say me too. Once you're a medical student or you're a nursing student, to jackpa is easy. And when you get there, just plenty. Okay, listen, no. Don't run, no. If God did not send you.
Because will you get the job? Yes.
But there may be other things involved. If I digress a little, there are people that have traveled that way. I was thinking about this recently. That have traveled that way. That's why they're not married till now.
Yes. Because they, God wanted them to travel, but maybe at a certain point in their life, they should have waited to have been married. Now they are there. The person that I was supposed to marry here in Nigeria is saying, I don't want long distance relationship. So I'm done. Now they don't want to marry anybody from there because nobody meets their taste. They're not trying to meet people on Facebook through Messenger. Hi, my name is Alex. What's up with this Alex today? So I'm just saying, God has a way He plans our lives. That if we follow Him, at the end, everything will come together. I guess what I'm saying now. Everything is not getting excited and running away. I was supposed to travel to go to my university abroad by a supposed scholarship. I didn't think about it. I didn't consider it. I didn't take it. He said, but sir, that would have changed your life. It would have really changed my life. Like for real. It would have changed my life. So thank God I didn't go. Because it would have changed my life and your life too. When I was just leaving secondary school, the whole fire of God was still brewing in my heart. I was still trying to understand. There are offers the devil will make you that may look like that from God. Not God is good, but not every good is God. Yes. Because if I just go, I'll just go there. Before I'm 21, I have the first degree. Before I'm 23, I have my master's. Before 24, 25, I have my PhD. Before 28, I have double PhD. I come back rich, doing so well. They say, guy, he has made it. But I didn't make nothing. Not even ever. I didn't make anything. The thing is that when you are out of God's will for your life, you will even think you are making progress. It's now when He opens your eyes to show you what it would have been, you will now know you are making no progress. Are you following the point? Because it would have just been a smooth life. That is if it goes well. What if you now go there? And I now see. God will give us wisdom. But there is someone that many people here know. When we are trying to raise people, she was one of those people that was coming around and all of that. After secondary school, traveled abroad. She's one of the most celebrated lesbians in Nigeria today. Very bold and loud on every social media platform. Disgusting thing. It breaks my heart all the time. Because she was really picking up. Some of you know who I'm talking about. She was really picking up. Yeah, walk with God. There are just simple choices that can alter people's lives. That's why I'm going to say this to you. Don't just send your kids to places because you can afford it. I feel what I'm saying now. Don't do things because you can afford them. Do things because God is leading you to do them. That you can afford it doesn't mean you should do it. Say, so go to that school. Why? We can afford it. Is that why? Is that why? Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I just said that from the Lord. Don't do this because you can afford it. Yes. Don't buy this because you can afford it. There's a lamb selling there. Don't just buy because you can afford. So you don't buy and lose your money. Don't buy because you can afford. Don't do things because you can afford. Don't go to places because you can. Don't do things just because you can. Do things because God has led you to do them. That's why we have a different life than the world. The world will tell you, but you can do this. Go for it. That's not how Christians talk. That's not how Christians think. We don't go for things because we can. Play this song for me. Only Yeshua will be for, will reign forever. Play that song. I'm hearing it in my spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't do this because you can. Because you can, you have the capacity. Can I even tell you, there are many things you will have the capacity for that God will never allow you to do. Both in life and even in ministry. Many things. You see people start church because I can start, what is there in starting church? Maybe you're actually right, you can. But make sure you are asked to and allowed. Are you following me now? I can release some go, what was there? I even know if once I just get some money, I release the song, do good PR, get one or two people, tell, give it influencers. You are right. But that you can doesn't mean that you should. Be sure that you should. Be sure that you should. Before you expose yourself too quickly. Too quickly. Be sure that you should and that you should now. In every detail of God's leading, there is preservation there. In every detail. In every detail. The only thing that God does to preserve us is that He sends people. Yes. And something I've observed. You saw that scripture I showed you the other time. God told Paul, I have many men in this city. So nobody's going to harm you. God sends people for our preservation. And how will you get to meet those people if you don't follow His leading? Because sometimes the person that God is sending to make sure that you'll be safe in 5 years' time, it is today that you meet the person. Casually, you might not even know. Are you getting the point? There might be somebody in your life that God is just bringing around you. I'll even be practical. Maybe physical preservation. Somebody, God is bringing something around you. What you don't know is that in the next 3 years, that person is going to join the military. Or join a force and grow through the ranks in that force. In 20 years' time, that person may be somebody that God has put to make sure that your security details are handled. I get what I'm saying? Yes. My point is that these things are just interconnected. Are you following me? It may be a casual, in every detail of God's leading, there is preservation. You might not just see how it will show, but it will show up one day. Are you getting the point? An example now, Pastor Maka has played a lot of roles now for many of you, health-wise. And for me too, for our family. But it was, how did I meet Pastor Maka? We are doing ministry. So, God leading us to go and do that work. We thought we were just saving a soul, leading someone to Christ. But we are also, God was also through that relationship that was being formed, preserving our health a couple of years from then. Are you what I'm talking about? In every detail of God's leading, if you follow it, He factors in your safety and your preservation there. So sometimes you might not even know how this particular leading connects to preservation, but just follow it. He just brings people that will ensure that you are fine. Some of the people you are meeting in your life now casually are the people that are going to be lawyers and big barristers tomorrow. Who will stand when they are about to take your land and fight for you? Say, no, that cannot happen. And God is just that wise in making those things happen. So you think that you just met this person casually. There is nobody you meet in God's leading that is a casual meeting. No. I guess what I'm saying. Nobody you meet in God's leading is a casual meeting. Some of them will see to the preservation of your children in the future. Yes. Your child enters hostel tomorrow. Guess who is the principal of the school? Somebody here. I'm just giving an example. These are about 20 years in the future. 16 years in the future. 15 years. The principal is somebody here. You see, I know you. But maybe I don't even know. It's one day they come for PTA meeting. You guys just greet. See, your child is here. Show me. And then that child cruises through school. I know what I'm saying. Just cruising. He said, don't worry, leave her for me. Is it this one? Leave her for me. There is nobody God allows you to meet in his leadings, in his plan for your life, that is useless. You will see how they will play a role tomorrow. That's why you must prioritize divine leading. Are you learning something today? So learn how to hear God. Learn how to follow him. Listen to those promptings in your spirit. They are not in vain. They are not in vain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The next thing that will help you. Did you learn this? Fine, move on. Did you pick it? So as you go home, make it a point of duty in these 30, the remaining days of the 30 days. Because let me tell you, one of the ways to get better with divine leading is to follow it. Begin to listen to. Now, anything God puts your heart, you just sense it is God and you are sure. Just do it. Follow it. Gradually, you are teaching your heart that there is only one thing we respond to. We respond to God's leading. Once your heart masters it, it will become easy to follow the next time. So these 30 days, pay attention. Whatever God puts your heart, it's not remaining. Today is the to have 16 days to go. But make it a point of duty. When that thing just comes, you're just, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. You might just be on the road, talk to that person, say, yes, daddy. Start talking. Don't negotiate. Don't say, how will he? Start talking. Trust what you know by the Spirit. Do you know why I'm saying this? The teaching on the valley there has to be well be taught well. Let me give you an example. You do know there are prophets who hear from God, to the point that they get people's details and phone numbers, yet they don't follow divine leading in their own private life. That thing is just a calling. It's grace. Be able to call people's names. I know you. I know where you're coming from. It's word of knowledge. That's not what you need in your personal life. Your personal life, you need to learn to follow God by yourself. There are prophets, and this is shocking, who can stand you up and reveal your detail, yet they marry wrongly. Now, does that make any sense? That's what I'm saying. They can give prophecies about nations, and says also country, and they are giving accurate even political prophecies, but they make the wrong choice in marriage. See, how can that happen? They could not hear for themselves. They knew how to minister to the people. They didn't know how to follow divine leading for themselves. That's why the last point I made, I was saying, learn how to receive divine healing for yourself. There are people that know how to minister healing to people, but they don't know how to receive healing for themselves. They don't know how to stand on the word of God and insist on the healing and get it. So they will carry a broken back, but they will learn how some people, they will be getting healed. So this is not about gift. I get what I'm saying now. This is not about gift or grace. Mm-mm. Follow God in your private life, oh. Listen, don't think that because a prophet can mention names that he will hear God more. It's not true. If he has not mastered how to follow divine leading, he will still miss it. I started hearing God when I ministered on stage quite very early. But I had to grow into learning how to follow the leading of God for myself. Making right choices. Are you getting the point? That's why even if you are called into the prophetic and you can hear God clearly, you used to sound your left ear, still get books on how to follow divine leading, how to follow the word, still get all those books. But that one will not come through your left ear.
Are you following me?
That one will come on this and you have to learn to follow it. You know, it's easy to talk to people, but sometimes it is harder to do what you're telling people to do. A prophet can simply look at you and say, there's a girl you are in a relationship with. Say, yes, daddy, yes, daddy. The Lord said, it's not the will of God. End it. I'm telling you, if you don't end it, anything you see, you take. That's the prophetic in action. It's not even a good way to prophesy, but let's leave it at that. But when that person finally hears from the Lord to end his own, it is hard. Are you following me? He starts negotiating. But end it. Why? God can change everybody. He can. Destiny changer. He can change everybody. So I will believe God for her. You know, one thing I like about myself is I see the best. I see the sense in every nonsense. So I'm going to stand here because I know men of God are married and say their wives are not good, but the letter became good. Now, he's negotiating his own leading. You know what is lacking? He didn't learn from an early stage. I will talk about that when I'll be closing today. He didn't learn from an early stage to follow divine leading for himself. So he didn't learn when God says, turn right, you turn right. He didn't learn all those basic things of preach to this person now. You just go preach. Or you are sleeping. Wake up now and pray. Does that happen to you? Has it ever happened to you? That you just sleep, you just sense, obey such promptings. You are teaching your heart that how will you behave here is that we obey everything. Your heart will learn it. So that when a leading, even if it is marriage, where your emotions are involved, it will not be hard. Are you getting the point? Why do you have people who can counsel you, but they get it wrong in their own lives? And their counsels are good. They didn't learn to be Christians. They learned to be ministers. It is being a Christian that teaches you how to follow divine leading. Being a minister tells you how to prophesy. So I was teaching you, for instance, some basic ministry know-how. How to heal the sick. How to cast out devils. But you know, you can be casting out devils from people's affairs and the devil is sitting on your matter. You've got to learn how to do certain, I get it, how to stand on the word of God. That one is not ministry training. It is basic Christian living. How to stand on God's word and say, my health is going to adjust. My family is going to get better. Are you following me now? How to listen to God and he will say, go do that. Talk to that person. Or you just feel, I don't feel we should do this. How you can be traveling to the, planning to travel. And the Lord says, don't use this car, use the other car. For no reason. Say, yes, Lord. Are you getting point? And I say, why should I use the other car? This other car is fine. I'm going to the village. I want to use the one to do Dorime when I get to the village. God is to just use the other car and be going. You say, why? You're still asking God why. Just say, everybody, guys, we are moving our things. If your wife says why, say, the Lord said. And your wife should be content with the Lord said. You know, Bishop fired somebody because of that. I told you. See, they were planning to travel. See, he was having this coolness in his field. They went at the airport and all of that. Booked everything. At the time, he just told the guy, we are not going again. And the guy was speared. The guy said, why? He said, the Lord said. He said, but we have paid for everything. Da, 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 da. Bishop said, but the Lord said we should not go. He says, I know, but people are waiting for us. He said, I said, the Lord said, and you are saying, but you are fired on the spot. He said, you guys are too mean. Someone that does not care about what the Lord has to say, fire the person, in this ministry, you know what I'm doing. I come and tell you guys that the Lord said, we say, but. The Lord said, when I was talking to the building committee, I told them, thus says the Lord, supersedes every decision we have made. I get to the point. We said we are going there, and the Lord said, don't do it. Oh God, we are just leaving. We won't do it again. Sir, the right thing is that we should buy this one before we buy this one. You know, that's the right thing. I said, okay.
But the Lord said, you know, when we started getting instruments here, we didn't have money to buy everything, so we're buying things once more. And if you want to get a set of instruments, after you have sound, what's the next thing you should buy? Huh? Keyboard now. Keyboard is... What did you buy first? Drum set. You see, what's wrong with you people? That's what the Lord put in my heart. And the wisdom of God showed up at the end of the day. Because we had keyboard to use. By the time, whatever I said, we're going to buy drum set first. Then I started asking God, what kind of thing is this? He now explained to me. Now, sometimes he wouldn't explain to you. Now, one of the things he told me, he said, if you have a drum set, if you don't have a keyboard, you can easily go pick keyboard from anywhere. You can get keyboard from somebody's house. Where will you get drum? Who has drum in his house? How often you bought drum in your house and you are playing it even well? Oh, miracle. I said, okay. And he came out. Now, we didn't get a keyboard as a church for like after some months. But we are not stranded. We have something to use. So everything is not, of course, there is doing things by the books. But the Spirit supersedes the books. So it plays out in every simple thing. So I built it now and says, we should do this for this. I mean, the Lord said we should do that one before this one. But don't tell me but. Cut off your tongue, go. There's no but. It's to preserve us in many ways. Do you know it's even better? You know, somebody said, what if I thought it was God that led me? And I told her two things. I said, if you thought it was God that led you, that's why you did this. I said, find out if it is God. If it is God, don't feel bad. I said, but if you check and you find out that it wasn't God, just change, but don't regret. He said, why? I said, at least you attempted to follow God. You thought it was God that you tried following. That's okay. You're teaching your heart something. I feel what I'm saying now. You thought it was God. You now try to follow. It's fine. What you just learned is, okay, I should have listened more. I should have waited more. I get to the point. I should have, but then you thought and you made that decision just because you thought God led you. You didn't lose anything. Your heart learned a lesson. Are you following me this day? Your heart learned a lesson. Are there things I've done thinking it was God and found it wasn't God? A few things, yes. Did I feel bad? No. At least I thought it was God. And I tried to do it. Now, there are people that don't even care what God has to say. And what I'm teaching you is that if you actually follow God promptly, you care about what He has to say and you're trying to do what He says, God will always get through to you. There is nobody that's ever wanted to be led by God that He didn't lead. Nobody. Because He actually wants to lead you more than you want to be led. Isaiah 30 verse 21, He said, I ear shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Are you following what I'm saying now?
Yes.
So follow divine leading. Number next. Right? How to be preserved? Learn to blend natural principles and spiritual principles. Very important. If we're going to live long, mix these two things, the natural and the spiritual. So what this means is, everything I've said about the spiritual, faith, leading of spirit, they stand. But the natural things you mustn't ignore too. Anybody that becomes careless about his health and is still claiming that he wants to live long is actually not serious. Because being careless about your health is not walking in faith. And so, this is why. Now, what I'm going to show you is this. Because those natural principles on earth, God puts those structures there. For instance, in prosperity, there is a natural principle of sowing and reaping. Now, when you put pawpaw, you harvest pawpaw. This is why even unbelievers can prosper. Because that's a natural principle that God set on the earth. This is why even unbelievers can live long. Because there are natural principles that God set on the earth. For instance, there are herbs that carry healing power. Right? Those herbs have been converted into drugs. So people that say they don't take drugs, that taking drugs is a sin. Where did those guys get those drugs from? They Consider roots and herbs and the rest of them. Who puts those abilities in those herbs and those roots? God.
So God actually knew that the time was going to come that man will need healing in his body. And he put those things there. That natural things. That's why even if an unbeliever takes hold of it, he will live long. Have you observed that many rich people live very long? Have you not observed? If you pray for a rich uncle to die, he's going to live very long.
Because there is natural, there are natural things they have access to. They fall sick, they fly them to the best doctors. Their ear is bad, they change the ear. Natural principles. I get the point. They don't eat what you eat. You eat anything, they eat what they need. That's why they live longer. And so the man of faith who wants to live long must understand those things. So it's not everything, you don't eat like a mad person. But at an age you begin to get to, you begin to check what you eat. So you don't spend all your years binging on carbonated stuffs and declaring life is working in me. Life is working in me. If let me say this one of this one benefit of being a believer. Listen, I'm going to tell you now. Because one of the greatest, most diseases that men suffer is caused by alcohol. Have you observed? Either caused or worsened by it. But then if you're a properly trained believer, you will not do alcohol. That alone preserves your life by a certain percentage that you're not aware of. Now, if you are a medical person or if you study, you know what I'm saying is true. There are chances that men that do not take alcohol have chance of living longer than people who take it. So that point alone is already preserving your life. Alone, just by being a believer. People say, what do you gain by being a Christian? I just told you one thing you gain. Are you getting the point? Yes. Well, as some of you, your life is in danger. Some of you don't even walk out at all. You don't walk out. The reason you are still coping is because you don't take a lot of all those alcohol things. So if you, because you're not even planning to start working out. You should anyway. It's one of those natural things. Natural principles. Work out. Touch your neighbor, say work out. You know the problem? Somebody is thinking, me that is slim like this, what am I working out again? It's not always about losing weight. Eh? It's about being healthy. Because slim doesn't always mean healthy. My God. Where is that coming from? Slim doesn't always mean healthy. He said, but I'm fine, I'm slim. Yeah. Just walk out. Then eat well. Eat healthy. I've told you, I paid attention to Kenneth Copeland in their home. You know, I've talked about Kenneth Copeland a lot in this series. They have, for instance, a special qualified chef that makes all their meals with proper diet, proper everything. So it's not, I'm going to go to the kitchen and cook up a storm. Stop cooking up a storm. Is that storm you to cook up that is the problem? What about being more careful? All of this, if you ever come to my house to eat, all of this, I say, we try so hard, and I was telling him, we're even trying harder to minimize the use of all these artificial, all these. Sometimes just do ogiri. I'm telling you. Obey. So what are all those things you are saying? What are those things? What's the English name? I don't. Huh? It says what? Oil. Is what? If you don't know the name. Please, for people who don't understand Igbo, I'm sorry. But I don't understand what you call it to your dialect, so check it. So I'm just saying, don't be careless. Because if you are being careless with your health, and you are still claiming that you are walking in faith, you are by your actions contradicting what you are saying. Yes. Because this is where people need to understand it.
So men of faith are not also careless people. So let me say this. If you become a politician in this church, or you become a rich man, arise very high to power. I will be the one to counsel you to start working with police and army when you are moving around. That is God's protection. He said, well, Jesus didn't need all those things. He was killed. He didn't need all those things, but that's time he told them to buy sword. And even when Peter pulled it out and cut off someone's ear, he told him to put it back. He didn't tell him to throw it away. How it is written in Igbo is, Mehachi Magi Nobo. Put it back where you bought it from. But that's a joke. What I'm actually saying, when people say, men of God are telling people to rely on stickers and anointing oil, but are carrying security. I believe not just men of God, everybody has risen to influence in this country needs to go with security. Did I get to the point? And it's fine. Will I tell you to rely on the power of God? Yes. But if you can afford security, should I tell you to get it? Yes. Anytime we have a major meeting here, we bring in police, the security details into this village. Yes. And once we get to our new venue, to even increase. You can come in and see over 3-4 hillocks is packed. Since people are afraid, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm just being wise. I'm just trying to tell you how it works. King David and the rest of the Old Testament, how do you think they didn't have security in their house? Say David lived long, he was protected. What do you think? You think angels were on the right and on the left? Try to enter the palace. Are you getting the point? You must blend, but that's why unbelievers can live long just by adhering to all this natural thing. Just that why we need the spiritual is because sometimes the natural can actually get to a point where it fails. Medicine has limitation. Okay? Security, whatever, has limitations. Amen. So if you become so rich and you can afford a bulletproof car, will you buy it? Yes. You're just hearing me say it. I'm just very simple with it. Yes, I'll buy it. So now that you don't have it, what will happen? God is protecting me. When I buy it, God is still protecting me. In fact, God giving me the money to buy it is his protection. That's really how I see it. Do you know, let me give you an example. In Isaiah chapter 38, because you have been wondering, sir, give scripture. In Isaiah 38, Isaiah met Hezekiah and told him he was going to die. And that was the issue. You are going to die. You know, put your house in order, you will die. And Hezekiah went to the Lord and prayed. And in verse 5, the Lord told him that he has added extra 15 years to him. So from verse 6, Hezekiah, you know, began to pray and began to thank the Lord for all of that. But then you get to verse 20. We now see how they healed him. Because what actually happened was that he was sick. So how was he healed? He said, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Verse 21, for Isaiah has said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil and he shall recover. So he still used herbs. Because what was wrong with him? He had a boy. And Isaiah told him, from this boy you will die. Give me the translations of this. Read it, everybody, read it together. Make what? This is not a spiritual thing, no. Of figs. Spread it over the boy and Hezekiah will recover. Under translation, let's see, Amplified Classic, let's just rush. A cake of figs for a plaster. So that's a medical stuff that administered to him. So notice, this is spiritual and natural. It was God that declared that he would recover. So it was God that healed him. That's why if you take drugs and you got healed, God healed you. Because if God didn't say he would recover, they would do this thing, he would still die. Are you following what I'm saying now? So it wasn't actually this process that made him recover.
Are you following the point?
That's why I tell you, even as you are taking medication, if you have to, be speaking the word of God. Combine those two. So I gave an example with Jesus now. They carried to Jesus and ran. Now, that is combining the spiritual and the natural. The spiritual say run, they ran. So there's nothing wrong with, oh, they're trying to keep people there. And you go hide. Nothing is wrong with that. Are you following what I'm saying? But still be trusting and leaning into God for his wisdom and his leading at that point. Because he's one, because you don't even know where to hide. Not like when they shoot, people start running up and down. Do you know where they shot them? Do you know where it is coming from? Do you even know what is happening? So nothing is wrong with running, but then pass it to your spirit, man.
Are you guys following me this afternoon? So you must combine those two. Don't be careless with your health. You want to live long? Don't be careless with your life. I tell my pastors this all the time. You can't be traveling at odd times of the night. You can't be doing that. Except it is super necessary. Now, why do you don't have to live in fear? Right? But so that when it is necessary, you can do it. But you can't make it a habit. Every time, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 11 p.m., you are just being careless. You are being careless with your life. You are being careless with your health. You are being careless with your safety. And why should you not be doing that? You carry people's destiny on your shoulder. Do you know what will go wrong and what will happen if anything happens to you? Think about that. I read a story on Facebook recently, and it just shows how listening to God and combining. So this guy said he would have killed someone on the day his wife gave birth. So the wife gave birth, and everybody was happy. And they told him, you know, that something, the nurses were like, there was something he didn't have. They had to go and buy. So he was rushing to go and buy it. Got to a very narrow path. And this guy was carrying wheelbarrow. But all these people carrying big load. And obviously did rubbish. And he was trying to, he wind up to tell the guy to clear. The guy started shouting, "Your father, if you say you're a man, come down." Was it his chest? "Nonsense, because you're carrying this pure water." He was referring to his cow. He said as he was talking, he said he was so pissed. He not talked about love work. He was so pissed. So he was going to open his car to go. He said, "Come down and find me. Who they fear you? Who they fear you?" And I'm saying, "What else you guys carry big car? You're intimidating people." He said, he just remembered that he just had a child. So he was like, "I beg. Let me just focus on my, well, let me not spoil today." You know that kind of thing. Just stayed in his car. After the guy finished shouting, he gave a long kiss, and eventually, in less than 5 minutes, he was out of the road. He got out of the road to take one step or two steps. He tripped and fell. People thought it was a normal fall, but he fell and died. Yes. And that wasn't God's judgment. He was close to death. Are you following me? He fell. The guy said before he left the market, the news had gone out that the guy died. He said he was in shock. If he had gone down to give one slap, he either will be in prison or they will burn him to death in that market. Now, just the natural thing of restraining yourself from violence. I get what I'm talking about here. Has preserved him. Has preserved him. But that's, he said he had goosebumps a very long time. So I mean, on the day he got a child, he killed someone. And there's no way he explained that he was planning to die. He said, "I didn't slap him hard, though. He's just normal." Because such before you come out, they've thrown the first punch. Once you return your own, don't worry. Now, I'm saying this to say, there are a lot of natural instructions that God will give you. But all of them are just there to preserve your life in one way or the other. Now, the guy that even tripped and died, why? Possibly there's been an underlying. I'm just saying, take care of yourself. Run tests if you have to. Don't be afraid of running tests. Why are you afraid of running tests? At least get to know what is wrong with you so that we know what you're praying against.
contest. It pains me when I get people healed. And I ask them, what is wrong with you? They say, I don't know. I'm just feeling pain. And I always say, did you see a doctor? No. Have you done any tests? No. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't like it. I wonder if I get you here and say, what's wrong with your eye? You say, I had glaucoma colitis. I want to know you've seen a doctor. And I know that you have made an effort. Are you getting the point? God's not against natural. Not against medicine. It's not against anything natural on the earth. It's not against security details. Use them if you have to. Are you following me, friends? Are you following me? Oh? When you came for my wedding, did you not see two bouncers at the door? You think they came to joke? Then why will a pastor do wedding and put bouncers at the door? But if I have one more, if it was now, that would have been about six bouncers. Yes. In fact, it was that morning we changed our mind from bringing in other security details. And that was by divine leading too. Yes. Because if we had brought in more guys that had guns, when that chaos happened, it would have been more disastrous. So, I guess what I'm saying now. Yes. There are a lot of things divine leading can do. That's why I said you must blend both of them. Because we had planned. I spoken to my brother. I said, that money, just call. So I told me that money was not calling me. Send money now. I said, I just feel we should leave it. He said, and we just left it. Now, that's divine leading. I get what I'm saying. We had to bring people that did not have gone. So they can stay around. So I'm just saying, don't be careless. Now, I'm explaining this thing to you so that when you come to any of our events and you see people, can don't say, in the house of God. Yes, in this house of God. Remember when we went for a meeting one time and there was a chaos in the city before the meeting at the door. You know this thing that they used to search people to check for arms? They checked everybody that came into the program. Big program, over 5,000 people. People were complaining. Then the house of God again. Where is the God of Elijah? In the house of Elijah, would they check people? I say I told one of them, we'll not lift up your hand, let them check you before they arrest you. That's not being stupid. You know, when the people you see them sound smart on face, think they are sounding smart on the social media. You don't are stupid. See the kind of policeman a man of God is working with. Do you know what it means to be a man of God? Having over 5,000 people that answer to you. Do you know how many enemies you're going to have? He said, let God save them. God is saving them by giving them money to hire security details. That's how God has saved them. And to know that God is saving them, if those security details fail, you will now see that God is actually protecting them. Yes. Now, I'm against people being flamboyant. And I said that yesterday. I'm not going to be flamboyant like carry 2 million policemen. I don't believe in all those drama. Just what is right. I get to the point. Just what it says. Go, you do your thing. And sometimes they play other roles, which I won't talk about today. They play other roles. But let's leave it. Think if I'm going to bring my pastor to this town to minister to us, which will happen very soon. And you think when he comes in, I'm just going to drive him. Do you know who my pastor is? The destiny of nations. I can't drive him casually like that. Amen. All the security details you know will be involved. He said, why? Why not? Because we are talking about long life. You know, one of the things that this God life gave us is wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom preserves life. We saw that in the Bible, right? Wisdom preserves life. Can't be careless. And that's also why, you know, if a mother can check and say, oh, there is riots today, you're not going to school today. That's just simple wisdom. That's just simple wisdom. You know, many years ago, when we were younger, me thinking about it now, I say, man, to be a child is to be senseless sometimes. So there was this popular robbery in Osaka. How many of you know about this robbery? 4 banks were robbed on the same day, at the same time, happening simultaneously. That was dramatic. So, and these guys were bold. They came in. They were shooting openly. Like, there was not, they were shooting openly. People gathered and were hailing them. Real life movie. Real life movie. They went into the four banks, robbed at the same time, came out. They were spraying money as they were leaving. You know, when the news came, everybody was running. Some of you were in primary school then. Some secondary, some primary. Some people were running. People that attended, they were schooling around all those model Santa Maria axes. They've not finished telling the story till today. But you know, when I was with my, well, with my brother at home, when I heard that, we heard it, we dressed up. I want to go to the park. My mom wanted to die. He said, "Kebun neje." He said, "Mom, you are not bad." I said, "But let's just go and see what is happening." And when they are mending, my daughter can see it. The children are just blessed. I wasn't a child though. I was in secondary school. I finished as 3 years. So I wasn't a child. So I just let's just go and see. She refused. She insisted that we didn't go. That was just the wisdom of God. Because at the end of the day, people died through that stuff. Like, they didn't plan to kill anybody, but people died. There is someone that, just our neighbor, the man died. Yes. Till today, he's dead. Like, you know, like he woke up. I see the children all over the place. He was a bus driver. So it was his, almost his turn. He now said, "Let him eat." Just that thing I said, he came. If you know Sukkah very well, all those flyovers that, all those rails, he climbed up there and was hailing them. Straight bullet shot him and he died. So people were just losing their life. That's basic wisdom. The fear of the Lord gives you wisdom. Wisdom is a life preserver. So you can't be careless. Say, "But life is working in me." So I get what I'm saying. I have to add this because there are extremes that faith teachers go to, and when they get to those extremes, things get so bad. If you get to the hospital and they say it is CS that they want to do, don't agree. Stand on your ground. The Hebrew women, they gave birth, they didn't do CS, so don't agree for CS. You just see ignorance talking. You just see ignorance masquerading as faith. If you don't want CS, long before you get to the hospital, start speaking words. Start declaring. Start trusting God. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. If you get to the hospital and the doctor says, "By our knowledge, except the Lord tells you." Because there are cases like that where the Lord will tell you, "Don't accept it. If you do this, you will die." But Higgins' wife had that kind of case. There was supposed to be a surgery. And she said she kept feeling that if she does the surgery, she would die. And but again, later had a vision. And the Lord told her if she has done that surgery, she would have died in the process. So God can actually lead you like that. I get the point. Except that it's such leading. If not, so all these fights. So when they say a woman gave birth, he said, "Is it natural birth or CS? Which one is unnatural? Which one is unnatural?" The unnatural one is that the baby died or the woman died. If baby is well and mother is well, that's natural delivery. Then I get used to it. Many people are even doing elective CS now. I have a friend, he chose, he said, we both decided that my wife will not go through that thing. I said, and he said, "Yes, we chose it." So he says, "How did it happen?" He said, "When the date they gave us, which my wife just went to the hospital and gave birth." Nice. If you don't like it, it's fine. What's up with all this? It is still God's preservation. The God that gave the doctors the wisdom. All you have to now pray is, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone that will pray to me. That your hand rests upon them. That you grant them divine wisdom." Yes. These are prayers you pray. Every time we take our boy to the hospital, "Sir, do you take your boy to the hospital?" "Yes, yes, yes." "You go for checkup?" "Yes." Even 2 days ago, we were in the hospital for checkup. "See, I thought you're a faith man." "My faith passed your own. I'm a man of faith." But anytime we go, I always pray that prayer. "Oh Lord, that you grant wisdom
to every hand that will touch him. That the doctors will know what to say, how to say it. Exactly, that they will pick what the problem is. These are prayers. Pray for them to have, operate by that wisdom. That's just simple wisdom. And that is still the wisdom of God. Don't be stupid though. Your child is sick. You are declaring you will not take drugs. No drugs in this house. A drug-free year. So, but I know somebody that did it. Maybe the Lord told them. Did the Lord tell you? Maybe the Lord told them. Now, my boy is living in divine health too. Yes, actually, he doesn't fall sick. But we are also very careful. It's a lot. We pray, we declare, but there's also something we do. Once there is any sign of anything, I say, let's just go and see a doctor. Yes. Sometimes we even come and they say, this is nothing now. I say, okay, now we know it's nothing. Let's go back. I'm telling you. He said, people are just panicking. I said, we're not panicking. We just came to see you. So check it. It's nothing. He's doing well. Okay, let's go. So we never had any case to have him, you know, and that kind of critical. No. Now, it's just wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying now? Just wisdom. You can also do that for yourself. You've been feeling something inside for the past 2 years now. He said, it just hooks me. But after sometimes, it unhooks. Why not go and shake it? When are you going to go and check it? Let me ask your neighbor, when will you go and check what the problem is? Check sure you want to live long. So it's nothing, so just hook me. But when you hook me here, if I just stay quiet for a few minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? Some of you know this what I'm saying. If I just stay quiet for a few minutes, then it will just release me to subside. Then I'll start moving again. Can't check yourself, oh. Before it now hook you for a very longer time. Because you know, the your body is designed to give you signs. Sure, I'm right. I'm right. It's designed to give you signs. It's designed that way. God made it that if there's anything that will happen, there's actually not any sudden thing. Your body keeps giving you those signals. So that when you find out early, you now know how to stay in prayer. I say, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is, you will see us doing later in this ministry. Later in this ministry. One other thing is not because it's not yet time. Right? I could call for special meeting. There will be time later in this ministry. Much later. You could see us just call everyone from 50 up. Free eye check. Medical. Force you. Check your heart. Everybody, you must check your kidney today. Yes. I'm just telling you. This is a faith church. Well, we'll do it. Oh yeah, line up. Let's check you. If you do too much, we even pay. Since you don't want to have sense, we will help you. Check. Line up. Line up. Check their kidney. Tell me how all of them are doing. Next week is liver test. I know. Because some people are just very careless. And if you're married here, force your wife or your husband. Especially husband. Well, those ones, I'm not like that too. Like, just more. But I'm saying because I'm a guy, you know, sincerely as a guy, I don't know why I should go to the hospital when nothing is wrong with me. There are brothers here, I can tell you, they can tell you, they've never entered the hospital to go and do anything for themselves in the past 15 years. Never. 15, I'm not joking, you know. Is anybody like that? I don't know what I'm saying. Never. What am I going to do? Nobody in the like. It's not somebody that has something to do with him that goes to the hospital. So, first. But let me tell you, this is why, one of the reasons why men die faster and younger than women. But ladies are more. The average lady just goes, let me go check myself. That's a lady for you. The man will say, "Want to check?" You even give it money. I said, "Take. Go check yourself. Can't see what's wrong with you." You not tell him, "Are you coming?" He said, "Coming where?" "I'm fine." "What is wrong with me?" That's why many cases of childlessness is actually caused by the man who will never agree to go to hospital. Nothing you do. He said, "I'm fine." Let me even tell you, if I got married you, I gave one girl belle. I've had a case like that. The guy reported, the lady reported, "Oh, no." I said, "Why don't you say I pregnant somebody if I married you? So it cannot be me, it's just you." I say, "Oh God, what if it has points?" And how I even show that belle is your own. It's okay. I'm just saying, just don't play with your life. We are contending for long life, for our ministry, for what God has put in our hands. We can't be careless with it. At least allow your body to cooperate with the life of God. Please. Now, not out of fear. Because I'm going to come to that shortly. Not out of fear. Not because you're afraid of dying. But because you just want to be a man of faith, proper man of faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The next, deal with fear, the fear of death. I thought it would stay longer today, right? So you prepared for it? Did you prepare for it? There's no way to prepare, just your mind. Prepare now. What is it I was saying? Whether you eat. Have you prepared now? You have like a few minutes to go. Like 15 minutes to go. Say amen. Yeah, we're closing by 3. That's the plan. That's the plan. Amen. Do you love the word of God? No, we cannot have a long meeting. We cannot have 30 days meeting without having at least 1 or 2 days that I stretch you. So we are getting blessed. So deal with the spirit of fear. Deal with the fear of death particularly. The fear of death. Many people die because they are afraid of death. Not because death is powerful enough to take them. Hebrews 2 verse 14 tells us about how Jesus died for our sins and all that, took on our nature, our form. Say, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might what? Destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Then the next verse now told us, "And deliver them who through fear of death," we are all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death keeps people in bondage. There are people that cannot even move because they are afraid of death. Do you know, when an accident happens, half of people that are dying in the accident is not an accident that kills them. It is fear. You must deal with the fear of death. Stop being afraid of death. When I say take care of your health, don't do it because you're afraid of dying. When I say speak words of faith, don't speak words of faith because you're afraid of dying. Are you following me? Don't say, "I'll follow divine leading unless I die." No, just follow divine leading. You will live. Don't act in response to fear. Deal with it. It's a major tool that the devil uses on people. The fear of death. The fear of death. That's why to the average man out there, the greatest thing he's afraid of is death. Are you aware? The greatest. "I'll kill you" as the highest threat. But I hope people will know that death is not actually the worst thing that can happen to a person. There are worse things than death. In fact, being alive without fulfilling your purpose is worse than death. I get what I'm saying now. Are you guys following me?
I'm afraid of death. I can tell how to deal with the spirit of death. The fear of death, rather. Let me tell you, I'll give you three reasons why I don't think a believer should be afraid of death. Number one, to start with, death is not the end. It's not our end. We are immortal beings. Do you remember that? So even when we die, it's not the end. So why are you afraid of it? It's not as if that's the end of your life. Except you don't believe the Bible. You see how Paul said it? He said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. So the only reason why Paul did not want to die was because he was going to start life to do ministry. Not because he was afraid. He wasn't afraid of death. He said, even if you kill me now, I've gained. Are you following me, friends? Don't be afraid of death. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. You need to hear that again and again. And if you know that death is not the end, you shouldn't be afraid of it, because so the reason you should want to live is not because you're afraid of death, is because you just want to do the work of God. That knowledge, the knowledge of the fact that this is not the end of my life, will change a lot of things. This is not the end. So even if when a believer eventually dies, his life has not ended. Now that alone should take fear of death from you. But people are afraid of death because they know that if they die, that's the end. But we know that's not the end. Bible calls it sleep. Do you remember that? It's just sleep. So if you sleep, you will wake up. Don't be afraid of death. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead will rise. Oh, we will be raised. We will be raised. We will be raised. And because we will be raised, we are not afraid of death. Are you following me, somebody?
People fear death as though, well, if you die now, what will happen if I die? God, I beg, let me not die. Is that the end of your life? Death is just transition into the next phase of your life. Yes. Now, that doesn't mean you should want to die early, but that means you should not be afraid of death. Because bad as it bad, even when you die, you still didn't lose anything. In fact, you gain something. Go back to that Philippians 1 verse 21. So that you look at the terms Paul used. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Next verse. He says, but if I live in this flesh, this fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Next verse. He said, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is... So Paul said that dying is far better. That's Paul's verdict. That dying is far better. So if it is far better, why are we now fighting to stay alive? Well, we have ministry to do. Because at the end of this conversation, Paul decided to choose life. Are you following me? But it's far better. So being afraid of death. All this fear. What if I now die? What if you now die? What will happen? If you die, what will happen? What will happen? You can't be with the Lord. Except you're not sure that you'll be with the Lord. You're not sure? I don't know why we're afraid of death. That's why Paul teaches that when a believer dies, we shouldn't cry too much. Yes. Say, I'm not afraid. This knowledge takes that. Do you know this is the knowledge that made the early Christians take martyrdom easily? You try to kill them, they say, kill me now. You're not doing anything to me. So they understand martyrdom is not doing anything to the believer. Not doing anything to me. In fact, you're even setting me free to come be with my Lord. So the only reason they will delay that martyrdom is because they have ministry to do here. Is someone following me this afternoon? But many of us get scared as though once we die, now, if I now die, my life will now finish. No, when you die, your life begins. You see, I'm giving you a very balanced teaching. You should want life, but don't be afraid of death. I'm afraid. Because if you die, what's the worst? You go be with the Lord. And it's a good thing to be with the Lord. You think people that die in Christ have any regrets? The only thing they can regret is maybe at the judgment of Christ. They didn't do much. They didn't win a lot of souls and all of that. But you are with the Lord. That one, good, is the easy serpent. Are you following me, friends?
So there is no way, Paul is telling them, there is no way you turn this thing for me to lose. If I stay alive, more ministry. If I die, gain. So there is no way we lose. Are you getting me, friends? We don't ever lose. We want long life. But even in death, we still don't lose. And this alone takes that fear of death from you. It takes it. Totally.
I'm not afraid.
I would say, through the fear of death, people have stayed all their lifetime in bondage. But think of it. I was saying it 2 days ago. There are people who don't do many things because they're afraid of dying. Say, will you fly abroad? Say, like me, fly plane. Ha.
Wow.
What if there is plane crash? And I'll not come and die for my mother. What of road? You don't know that flying is the safest means of transportation. In other way, the safest and the fastest. Say that, but there are plane crashes. How many plane crashes do you have in a year? And how many flights happen every year? Then why will it be your own plane that will crash? What is wrong with you? Will you get on that plane and travel? You know, one of those days, man, about to take off, and these boys, obviously, I think they got money from somewhere, and they entered plane for the first time in their life. So they were not even hiding it. So they, from the town we were stepping up, they were taking selfies. They were making, you know, first time thing. And they were posting it to like the one. Immediately the thing, the flight wanted to take off. They didn't even hide it. Jesus! I said, boys! One now said, I know I can't get back to room. He said, well, I'm just going to enter room. I couldn't even. In fact, that it became a comic relief for everyone on the plane. It was really very funny. Jesus, how come I got back to room? And I would not be surprised if they had messed themselves up on me. When Tina took off, you see, what you call Rigo again? It was just very dramatic. Fear. But you know, the amazing thing is, sometimes have the heart of a child. Kids are not afraid of anything. Once they assure their father and their mother. Last time we flew with our boy, he doesn't even care. We are trying to take off. Everybody's putting on. He puts it, but he removes it. He doesn't even care that. He doesn't even. And I just told my wife, I said, this is how God wants us to live our lives, in His hands. He doesn't care. Say, please prepare for landing. He's jumping up. He's jumping up. You know, my pastor was like, they were flying one time with their children, and there was this turbulence. Everybody was like, you know, Jesus. The kids were like, whoa, 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 that's good. That really happened again. Whoa, 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 that's great. I said, look at these children. And for real, there's no need to fear. Do you know, it has been proven 98%, 99% of turbulences that happen cannot crash a plane. Yes. 99%. So no matter how bad it is, it cannot. So the kids, whoa, that's great. Will it happen again? I say, oh. Do you know people reject their ministry because they're afraid of dying? Say, if I now go to that village, witches will not kill me. You're afraid of dying. He said, if I now, so I become a missionary, when I will find all over the world, from here to there, I better go. What? Fear of death will cripple you. There are people that desire so much to travel to the village during Christmas, but they won't. Because they're afraid that one man will now come and touch them, they will now die for their mother. Man of God, the God life, immortality,
is afraid of being killed by witches. Listen, this is not the end. Death is not the end. So always see like, one, I will live long. You can't even kill me. Now, even if by chance this life ends, the real life begins. I want you to believe in the life after now, as true as it is written in the Bible, because it's a fact in the Bible. We are not ending here. Are you getting the point? We are not any doctrine that says that we are going to end here. Paul said, if it is true that we are ending here, then we are of all men most miserable. Because look at the things we are doing for the Lord. If it's going to end here, then we are foolish. But thank God we are not foolish. But there is hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Just thank Him. Thank God, because we're not ending here. Oh, yes. For there is hope in the promise of the cross. You gave everything to save the world you love. And this hope is an anchor for my soul. I got, there is hope. Because He rose, we know we will rise. That is, what if I don't die? If you die, you will rise again. You know, that was the comfort. Mary and Martha had cried and cried and cried. So when Jesus eventually came, they were not even expecting a miracle. They just told Him, I know our brother will rise at the resurrection. That was their comfort. I get what I'm saying. They say, it's fine. You're welcome, sir. Come and sit down and eat. We know He has died. If you had been here, He wouldn't have died. But now that He has died, we know He will rise again. That's a Christian talking. Just that in their own case, Jesus had other plans. Are you following what I'm saying? Death is not the end. It has never been, it will never be. That was why even the prophets of old, when some of them died without seeing the promise of the Messiah, they did not still die angry. They died hopeful because they know they will rise again and the Messiah will become. I get the point. They knew. So death is not the end. That's one thing that crushes the fear of death. Another thing that deals with the fear of death is that we must know and remember that we have power and victory over death. Always remember that. If you have victory and power over something, you cannot possibly be afraid of that thing. You can't. Because you have power over it. What it means is that it might be dangerous to others, but you have power over it. Can I give an example? When you have a dog, have you ever trained a dog before? Ever trained a dog? Have you trained a dangerous dog before? I like dogs too. We grew up training dogs. Very, not all those pets that Simone has in his house. So. Like dog. Simone has very nice pets. Very nice. Expensive things. I've seen it. Very fine. But that's not what I'm saying. I mean, if you train dog, like dangerous dog, you know those kind of bulldogs, Rottweilers. Do you know them? Sometimes when you see them, sometimes you're walking on the road, you see people carrying them. Have you seen, you see people carrying them, dragging them without their belts. You are running. The owner is not running. The owner has control over it. He cannot harm it. He cannot harm the owner. Yes. He has control over it. You are the one on the run. We have power and authority over death. It may be harmful to others, not to us. We use it when we want. When we are done, we accept it. If we're not done, we have control over it. That's the point. So others can be running. Somebody is saying about some dogs can eat their own now. Yes. If the owner is careless. That's the same thing I'm saying. The owner is careless. Say, what kind of carelessness? If you don't feed that dog for some time, it will. That's why you have control over death. Don't just let death come and mess around you. Own it. Know that you have control over it.
I gave assignment yesterday. Did you do it? Death is yours. Do you remember that? Who tried it? Did you get anything? Who wants to share something with us about that? Nothing. So continue with the assignment. You must say something. So just tell us the meaning. You want to say, okay, very good. Get a mic. Death is yours. Even if you didn't know what to do, you should have looked for any author, maybe that wrote something on it, and see what they said.
Praise God.
Yes.
Death is mine, according to the Bible. For me, I interpreted it in this way. When you say that death is yours, it means that God has given you the power. It means that God has given you the authority. So you can control death. You can ask death to wait. You can ask it to come. You can ask it that you don't need the services. So it is mine, actually. So I can actually command it or toss it in a way I want to my own favor. That's how I interpreted it.
Is that powerful?
So, but can you clap? Even if it's not correct, clap. Because you did not do nothing. Hey! Some people are even remembering that I just gave assignments now. Did you check it? Be sincere. Raise your hand. If you... That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse, I think 21, Abi. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. That's when somebody says, God forbid. Paul and Apollos, fine. Cephas, okay. The world, okay. Life, yes. Death, no. For you to say death, no, you're also agreeing that death is yours. It means you can keep it aside. So let's go with what he said. I will still bring a full teaching on that. Because all things are yours is one statement people play with a lot. It's all things are mine. All means all. I like this Bible. It is mine. Is it mine? Amen. We'll have power over death. Authority over death. You can decide what will be. Now, if you know this, then there should be no fear of death. Jesus took authority over death. Jesus raised the dead 3 times in his lifetime. Are you aware? Huh? 3 times. The most popular one, the raising of Lazarus. Then the son of the widow at Nain. Then Jairus' daughter. 3 times in his lifetime. Now, not, I mean, in 3.5 years. So that's how long his ministry lasted. I get to the point. 3.5 years. He raised up 3 times. Then he died and rose again. He was illustrating to us that death is actually not something we cannot deal with. And then the apostles raised the dead. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, a certain woman called Dorcas died. Peter raised her from the dead. From the dead. In Acts chapter 20, a certain man called Eutychus. Do you know Eutychus? Fell down and died. Bible didn't say he slept. He died. That's Acts 20 from verse 9. Paul was doing a long teaching like I'm doing now. Just that Paul was in the midnight. And I don't know why that guy we even sit at the window where he knows his sleeping capacities. But he sat at the window. Bible said, certain young man, being fallen into a deep sleep. How can you fall into a deep sleep where they're preaching? Why not sleep shallow? How can you fall into a deep sleep? Just like those days when we were younger, when we had night vigil. People would go to night vigil. Somebody can rapper. I'm mad to night vigil. Vigil that is meant to last a month. You can't rapper, I'm mad. What was your agenda? Deep sleep.
The first thing is for cold. Then they wrap themselves. Then before 2-3 people at the back, everybody's sleeping. Just go home. As Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft. So they were on an exalted platform. Do you understand? Like three-story building. That's where the church was. See, it's not like today that this thing started. That people are having church on top of building. They were dead. Fell down from there. People say he was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him. My God. So just embraced him. You know, oh, my land, dear Christ. You know, the point is, maybe I'll touch that. Oh, we need time. But we did, sha. The life of God can be transferred. Paul just embraced him. After he didn't say a word. He stopped and said, trouble not yourself. His life is in him. This guy didn't understand anything Paul was saying. So see the next verse. When he was there, he was come up again. He broke bread. They ate. And he talked a long while. Even till daybreak. If you don't know, when I say Paul taught for long, you would think, is this what I'm doing? So he departed. He didn't even ask about that boy again. He left. And they brought the young man alive. And they were not a little comforted. It was when Paul left, they went to check on that guy. And he was alive. So Paul didn't even bother to say, am I sure what I did worked? He was so sure it worked. That's power over death. Give me this verse in another translation. Verse. He said, meanwhile, the young man was taken home unhurt. And everyone was greatly relieved because they were actually scared. See, how can somebody die in our program? But Paul wasn't bothered though. He left, he went home. Are you getting the point? You've got to know, this is, we are in charge of it. So if we can stop it in someone else's life, why not in our own life? That's the same Paul we saw. They beat him and stoned him. They thought he was dead. They left, he got up. So I dare tell you, with the kind of persecution that was happening in the early church, most of those apostles died many times and came back. Because they were, if you know the kind of, if you read about Emperor Nero, do you know Nero? He's not in the Bible, don't worry. If you read history. Emperor Nero was the one that killed Paul. He was not that killed Peter. He was brutal against the church. He did things. There was one of the emperors that would line up night after night. He would line up Christians. I use them as street lights. Line them up, pour clothes, fell on them. They will burn through the night, lighting up the streets. The next day, they bring out other sets. They were that brutal. But these Christians were still choosing when to die. Can you beat that? So what's with fear of death? Hey, but no, I think it was one, I hope I'm not mixing up things. It was one that started this gladiator or whatever. Open the ring, throw Christians in, and they will fight with wild animals. And he will destroy them. Everybody will clap. Yay! They throw the next set of Christians in. Now, these are the things these guys fought against. But they were still choosing when to die and when not to die. I feel what I'm saying now. They were still choosing when to die. They did their work easily. They did their work. With the kind of testimonies you see in the book of Acts, we know that these guys faced death many times. You see that they were put in prison, the chains broke. Many things. They were stoned, they came out again. Sometimes they were planned, but at the particular time that they had planned to kill them, kill Paul, somebody had to come and whisper to Paul, and in the midnight, they sneaked him out. That's the preservation. We are in charge of this thing. Are you following what I'm talking about? So let there be no fear. We have control over death and life. That's what I'm going to say to you as I proceed. How do you deal with the fear of death again? Stop feeding your heart wrongly. Stop feeding your heart with fear. Feed on the word of God. Don't feed out all this negative, all this news about this and that. Feed yourself with the word of God. Feed your heart with God's word. Feed your heart with God's word. Feed your heart with God's word. I'm not someone that, let me tell you one of the ways I guard my heart very seriously.
And I've said this many times to you guys. If an accident happens down there, a lot of people died, or anything happened, and I get there, and I look at the scene, and there is nothing I can do. I mean, I can't take them to the hospital or assist. I don't stop. I don't stand around. I don't believe in it. Those things are feeding your heart. Instead, they say, Jesus, how did it happen? The brake failed. Hey! Say, how many people died? 40 people. Jesus! That's about, you are feeding your heart. And you will never see me. Anything you see me stand around an accident scene, just know I'm there to intervene. I'm there to do something. Have I intervened? Yes. A few times. You know, one time there was this security guys where I was living. They used to come around that place to collect security fee. So when you don't give them, sometimes they might come out on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning and lock the gate from outside. And say nobody's leaving this compound until you pay your security levy. So it was a crazy thing they were doing. So everybody was angry. So one of those morning they came to a nearby compound. And those guys were not even having it that morning. They jumped the fence and beat the, in fact, they beat this boy like Jesus. Because he was still talking. One girl, there was a lady with them. She was talking. Oh, the ladies can talk. You don't do anything to them. I was saying, touch me now, touch me now. Nobody touched her. The boy now said, touch me now, touch me now. He now touched first. They beat him like they beat him in less than 3 minutes. Or even, let's say 30 seconds. Up and down, up and down, up and down. And they hit him, put him, you know, this gutter that was made with cement. They hit concrete, they hit him there. He broke. He couldn't get up. Everybody ran. It was just in front of my house. So I had already called the police. And when I got there, the guy was just there on the floor. He couldn't get up, shining his eyes. He couldn't talk. Now, I could do something about that. I drove out immediately, opened my car, told them to put him in the car. They put him, I took him to the hospital. That's the best I could do. Maybe they removed him, I turned and I came back. Now, that is me. I can intervene. It's not this. But then, for me to gather around there saying, hey, what happened? Spinal cord. Somebody will not say, do you know he will never get up again? Jesus! I have a friend that broke spinal cord. Hey! How about that? But I don't do that. You never see me there. I don't hang around in such places. If you know, you become afraid of your spinal cord. You feel any pain, you say, hey, it's like my spinal cord is about to break. I don't feel my heart wrong. Yes. So I just told you that story to let you know, I'm not insensitive, but I don't stand around such places. I don't engage in those kind of conversations. There are people I block on my Facebook page, not because they do it on my Facebook wall, not because they do anything bad, but they keep posting about accidents that happen, I block them. See, another one just happened though, another trailer, hey. I know these guys derive joy. You know, they post as though they care about the people, but they derive joy because they're about to generate traffic on their wall. I don't do that. If you are here, you want to be a social media influencer, I will support you. Right? You want to be a, what do we call those guys? Content creator. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think many Christians should become that. I really think so. But you should be able to know how you pass information. Even if you're going to pass a bad news, it should be laced with hope. People should not read your content and feel hopeless. He says, it's only God that can save us in this country. Now, when people don't read it, they're afraid. Are you guys getting what I'm saying now? That's why doctors have said it to you guys many times. Be people that minister hope. Never. Now, this is an instruction to all medical people here. Never tell a patient that this case is incurable. Never say that. Sir, what if it is? It is not. Tell the person, medically, it is incurable. Always stress it. Because there's nothing incurable on the earth. At this time, medically, there is no cure. But there are cures. You must be able to communicate hope. So I don't listen to those kind of conversations.
They're just saying, oh, somebody died there. Somebody died there. Hey, do you know the reason why during December more accidents happen? This is one of the reasons. Because there are many stories of such things. And people keep feeding their heart with those things. How many of you remember during, how many of you got depressed during NSAS protest? Yes. When that October, what day was that? October 10th, Abi. 20th. We will never forget. Oh, you forgot? He says, why are you laughing? I'm not laughing at them. I'm laughing at you. Yes. That's one I told you, don't live long ago. People will forget you. Did you hear what I said? When that happened, I felt very terrible. I felt bad. How can people be so heartless, open fire on people who are put? I wasn't having it. But I began to see the game of the devil. The news was just flying. It got to a time, everybody was depressed. Everybody was down. People went and began, and you know the devil, I told people around me, I said, if you don't understand this, I'm going to say, just please leave it. I told the person, I told them, I said, blood has touched the ground. There will be much more bloodshed this period. And it happened. You know, the devil plays, he just watches those spaces. Before you know, the protest began to be violent. People are being killed. They will open fire on people. Just like that. Because people began to feed their hearts. I know people that went out to protest that period. They've never protested in their life. But when they saw those videos, they said, no, we not go agree. We not go agree. Roger Mike is a blessed man. You would have been a victim of that. That's why I'm just calling his name. God really came through for him. Oh. Yeah. The day you convince him, he will tell you the story. But I'm not sure he will tell you.
You have to be careful what you expose your heart to.
Are you getting the point?
Be careful. You go to where people die. That's not the place. Just sympathize with them. I'm not a fan of, I don't go to a lot of burials. If I come for condolence, I'm straight to the point. Daddy, God will strengthen you. God will strengthen you. Everything is going to be fine. We pray for wisdom. We pray for strength and wisdom to go through this season. All that. When you do that, if you want to hang around, hang around. If I'm going to hang around where people die to encourage them, be there as an encouragement. Don't start telling stories of everybody that died. How did he die? He said he died because he fell down from seat. Hey! Seat has been killing people in a... There's another... You are just... What is wrong with you? Then you create an atmosphere where there is fear of death. Feed on the word of God. That's why I'm not a fan of... You wouldn't see me go to my house and you see... You will hardly see things like CNN or BBC. Or this... Arise. No, we hardly see it on the screen. Hardly. Now, I love news. I love information. But if I ever want to listen to what's happening, I listen to it once. Have you observed what they do? The same news they announce in the morning will be announced in the afternoon and in the night. The same bad news. You don't observe. You just keep hearing. 30 people died in Israel. This will happen. Hamas. All over the place. Then it's feeding your heart. Are you getting the point? Flood is happening everywhere now. Flood. It happened in Osaka. So where rain begins to fall? I get what I'm saying. Am I sure flood is not about to? So you're packing. Say before you sleep, you say, let me even carry up all my certificates and keep them up so that if flood comes. The fear of death is a dangerous thing. And it comes by what you... Faith comes by hearing. Fear also comes by hearing. So I don't listen to every rubbish. I don't have details about many sicknesses. I try not to. That's why I pity medical practitioners. Because they know too much for their own good. That's why a medical practitioner must be someone bent on the word of God. If not, this is the thing you know that will kill you. Because when you eventually if you are diagnosed of anything, you know all the processes. You know how it happens in the body. You know what is going on in your body at the moment. You know how many organs it has destroyed and it can actually damage. So you know too much. And it can kill you. So what do you do? Get on the word of God and feed your heart. Are you still here? Then learn to take authority. Learn to speak the word and act on the word. Power of death and life. One secret that David had too was that he spoke a lot. It was in Psalm 118, I think verse 17, that he said, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I shall not die. But live. Okay, that's what, I shall not die but live to declare. So you should learn to say this about yourself. So speak God's word. Pray too. Take authority in the place of prayer. It's one thing that sustains life, that preserves your life. Take authority. Take authority. Take authority. Don't keep short. Notice sickness, declare against it. You are about to travel, pray. Sir, do you pray when you travel? Yes, we pray before we travel. We take authority over the road. We take authority over the street. We tell the car what to do, how to behave. We tell the brake not to fail. Yes, I do that every time I travel. If you ever traveled with me, you would have noticed a normal thing. Before we travel, we pray. Yes. Before we leave the house, we pray. So he said, pray, speak God's word. Because the power of death and life are in, death and life rather, are in the power of the tongue. Abi?
Yes.
So if you don't say anything, you don't get anything. So you should be saying something. You should be saying something. Are you following me, friends? You should be praying. Should you bless your food before you eat it? Yes. But not ceremonially. Mean it. And while you might not be able to do that every day because you are now a big man. Every time you want to eat and it comes to your heart, pray over your food. He said, remember that scripture? He said, the Lord shall bless. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water. And that's how you will live long. Because people get contaminated by what they eat. Are you getting the point? There's nothing wrong with blessing your food. Pray as much as you can. Not in response to fear. But because you know you have authority. One of those dramatic things that happened in my house when we were growing up. I've told you guys this story. How, for some, I don't know how it happened, but our pot of food was poisoned. I would have said, oh, it's just normal food poisoning. You know, food poisoning is not like a bad word. Anything can poison food. But I would be surprised because obviously we ate that food. You know how we eat in Africa? When we eat at night, we eat it in the morning. So we ate that food at night and everybody was fine. The next morning, some ate it, some did not eat it. The people that ate it, we are almost passing out. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
It took God's intervention. So I'm just saying, pray, 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 pray. Are you getting the point? Pray, rebuke. If you notice that things are going, rebuke that spirit around your life. It's how you will live long. Have you been blessed? And finally, what do you do to live a very long life? Live a fulfilling life on earth. Live a purpose-driven life. In my note, I said, instead of focusing on living long, focus on how to use the life of God in you to be a blessing to people. I found out that when you are so focused on your assignment, your God-given assignment and ministry, it has a way of preserving your life. For instance, we mentioned earlier that when you walk in, when you follow the leading of the Spirit, it preserves your life. And of course, when you follow the leading of the Spirit, He will lead you to do ministry. So live a life that is sold out on serving the Lord. Give life to people. Live a life that is fulfilling. It's one of the things that preserves life. Yes. And apart from preserving life, it makes life worth living. Because some people die. Let me tell you how it preserves life. Some people die because they are frustrated. Are you aware? Say, I'm not tired. What am I even doing here? Let me just die. That's actually, I'll talk about this tomorrow again. That's why people consider suicide. Because what am I even doing here? I beg, I'm tired. Let me just die and go. But when you're living a fulfilling life, a ministry-driven life. Every day you wake up, there is something to live for. Do you know that without ministry, life is boring? Are you aware? It's the same routine every day. Wake up, eat, talk, afternoon, eat, go out, walk, get money, talk, good night. You do that all your life. It's boring. So people just feel, I have nothing to do here. Let me just go. So when somebody falls sick, he feels, what am I even doing here? My children are doing well. They're okay. I've kept enough money for them. Let me just die and go. There is no purpose in their living. I get what I'm saying. When you live a purpose, a fulfilling life, you even have a reason to stay. So you must carry ministry at heart. Because God created you for a purpose so that you can serve Him. When you live for that purpose, you are preserving your life. Because to start with, you are giving yourself a reason to live more. A reason to be alive. You know, Jesus is not just someone that has eternal life in Him. Jesus gives that life to people. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45. King James calls Him, He said the first Adam, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How did NLT put it? NLT said the last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. So he's not just a carrier of life, he's a giver of life. So the believer has been made in that same order. That would not just serve life. That's why I won't get into it today. I'll just scratch it and we'll close. But somewhere in this teaching, I'm going to begin to teach you how to use this life of God in you to affect others. Because look at Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. He's not just a carrier, he's a giver. So many of us, what we've been learning so far is how this life of God can affect us. And it's so beautiful. We'll still see more of that. But you must also see that it can also be a blessing. It can also affect others. I get what I'm saying. It can also affect. Jesus told them in John 20 verse 23. He said, whosoever sin that you remit is remitted. Whosoever sin that you retain is retained. So they have power to remit sin and to forgive sin and to retain sin. That's the same thing. We can give people life. And that's what you should spend your life doing. Being a blessing to people. Giving them life. Spend your life for Jesus, man. It's one of the things that preserves life. And apart from preserving life, He makes life worth living. Life can be frustrating. Life can be boring. In fact, life is boring. By the time everything settles, you are doing well already. You know, your life will just be a routine. Yes. Wake up, tell the children, how are you doing? Are you fine? You go to work. You walk. It's evening. You come back. You cook. The children eat. You say hi to your husband. You kiss him. You sleep. You wake up. The same thing. That's why people say, I'm just bored. Let's go on a vacation. I get to the point. People are, it gets boring. Then you go out, stay 2 weeks, stay chilling. Before the vacation becomes boring because you do the same thing every day. Then you come back again and start doing the same routine. It's boring. It is purpose that makes life worth living. The fact that you wake up every day, there is someone to help. There is someone to talk to. Do you know the kind of joy it gives me? Someone to be a blessing to today. Someone to minister life to today. It keeps me going. I want to live like 200 more years because there is more things to be done. I've heard somebody say to me sincerely, say, what? Say, you guys want to live long? I beg, if I just reach 70, I'm fine. And I told him it's fine. He said, which one is it? I said, it's fine. I didn't want to tell him what was my mind. I don't tell him, you should not even reach 70. Around 50 or 40, if you just go. Because you are doing nothing here. This life is worth living. Because you are living it for Jesus. So, spend your life, live a fulfilling life. Instead of breaking your head about, will I live long or live short, use this life well. Live it for Jesus. And I want to challenge you before we close. You see, friend, even though God will give us long life, you know we're going to have long life. In fact, so far, I've been able to convince you and not confuse you that we're going to have long life. Yeah, we're going to have long life. But I will encourage you to serve God early. Enter your purpose early. The reason is this.
even though we're going to have long life, there are still certain things that must be done at certain seasons of life. Life is in seasons. So some of you that say, I will serve God later, we're going to live long, Shasha. If I don't do it now, before I get to 40, I will start. There are certain things that must happen at certain seasons. In fact, the later days of your life will be enjoyable, depending on what you did with the early days of your life. Serve God early. Lamentations 3:27. Jeremiah said, it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. There are certain yokes that must be born as a youth. There are certain things that must be done at certain seasons. It's not following me at all. There are things you can't push to the future. There are seasons of training. There are different seasons. Start with the Lord early and pour yourself into Him. That's what preserves your life. And that's what gives you a meaningful life. That's what even makes life worth living. That's what gives a fulfilling life. That you are living, you are happy. When you want to die, you are smiling. No regrets. I've lived my life to impress a lot of people, so I'm just going to die peacefully. That's what gives that kind of life. But you have to start early. Start early. Start winning souls early. Let me say this to you. There are many things that if you do not do in the early days of your Christian life, it will be hard to ever do them. Because you missed the season where you should have done them. Let me give an example. There are some of you, and God is going to help you. There are some people that are struggling with some things in their life. Maybe quiet time. Because the season that they were supposed to learn how to do quiet time, they didn't learn it. The season they were meant to develop some certain things, they didn't develop it. There are certain things you must bear at certain seasons of your life. There are things that must happen at certain times. There are things you must learn at certain times. There are ministries you must do at certain times. Ministry is in phases. Do you know there is a phase in your calling, for instance, where all God wants to do to you then is to train you? Do you know there is another phase in your calling where God will allow you to do just anything you want to do? Yes. There is that phase in your calling where you become jack of all trade. He allows you. I wish I had time, but I've shown all this in the Bible. At that point, the disciples who are there at the time, they will go and get donkey. They will go and they were just doing anything. Tomorrow they are doing missions. They were just doing many things. Even after Jesus died, they were still doing everything. Until he got to time in chapter 6, then I said, okay, we will no longer serve tables. Let's now focus. Are you getting the point? If you miss those timings and those phases in your life, sometimes they never come back. Some seasons never return. So, serve the Lord early. Bear the yoke now that you are young. Do you know, let me say this to you. And it's very serious. If you have a calling to start a ministry, there is a season that you must start that ministry. There is a time you must not. But there is a time you must. If you start too early, you are in trouble. If you start late, you're also in trouble. There are people that don't even use the natural order of life. There is a time that naturally it is easier to start a work. And at the time that it is harder to start a work. In the early days of your marriage, when you've just given birth and just want to see your kids, it's difficult to start a work at that time. I'm not saying it's impossible, I say it's difficult. Because children are demanding. I get to the point. So people in that state may have to start it later. Yes. Now, except the Lord says so, fine. You know why the Lord will hardly say so? Because the Lord knows how demanding it is for you to start a work at that point. If you do it, it will be at the expense of your family and your children. Life is in seasons. So I've heard people declare things like, and I like that declaration, time is on our side. It's true. I heard people say, age is on our side. That's a beautiful declaration. Age. That's why, don't be faster than God. Age is on our side, actually. But that statement must not be taken too far. Because there are those seasons that you must do certain things. That age will not be your side. I can see the point. There are times. So wake up. Serve the Lord now.
Let every moment of your life count
for something good.
Ah, that when God is thinking of adding, he can add 30 more years to you. Because if he checks what you've done in the past 30 years, this guy should stay for 40 more years.
Are you following me, friends?
Let every minute be out there saving souls. Stop pushing your ministry to the future. Win the lost. Some things must happen at certain seasons. The Lord put this word strong in my heart. He said I should close with it today. Some things must happen at certain seasons. Must. If it doesn't happen at that season, you've lost it. That is time. There are times everything. Do you know, if I can digress a little, as a ministry, there is a time when you must start building. If we do not build when we are supposed to build, which is now, we would have missed the season. Yes. There are times, there are seasons this must happen. If at the time they are supposed to build as a church, you still don't build, they are still jumping from rent to rent, you're going to have a lot of issues. Because the provision and the allocation that God made for that season of your life has finished. So there is no longer help from God in terms of finding venue at that point. The way there is now help from God is in the area of providing for you to be able to build. But you are still jumping from venue to venue. I get what I'm saying. You must be able to know seasons and get. So start early in life and mark your seasons and work according to your season. Don't miss it. Live a fulfilling life. Because that's why we're going to end all this teaching eventually with ministry talk. You say why? Because first, the purpose of the God life, you know, is to be able to use it to bless others. Two, the purpose of long life is so that we can live long to do ministry and do it well. And do it well. Serve the Lord now. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke. Give me other translations of this verse. Other translations. He said, it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. And that's very serious. So there is an age you submit to training. Are you following what I'm saying now? There's an age you allow the Lord to do certain things in your life. So don't be saying, we have long life. We have long life. We have long life. What I'm telling you now is the break. There's an acceleration and it's break. In every car. So I'll just relax. I'm going to live for 120. Ah, it's so like I cannot win today. I'll win tomorrow. No. There are seasons. There is a season that the Lord wants you to start doing other things. So what he wants you to do now, you must do now in this season. That every time, find out what you are meant to be doing now. Do you know there is a season of training that you mustn't miss? The problem is this. There are certain trainings that the Lord prepares for you that will never come back. Imagine Peter and the rest missed those three years with Jesus. When that season ended, their training was over. They could never have that season again. Jesus was never coming back to this world again. Except to come and take the sense. So if they missed it, they have missed it. If any other apostle got any training, you will not get it through Peter and the rest that got it. But that privilege, you've lost it. You must mark the seasons of your life and take them seriously. Serve the Lord with everything. Give me a Amplified Classic. Bear the yoke early. Amplified Classic. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of divine disciplines in his youth. In his youth. Now that you are young, bear it now. Right? They say, we are going for evangelism. Come out. Don't be the one that is, I'm not going. You know, some of you, you've never participated in your generation evangelism. And then you're a worker. That's even the heartbreaking thing. You're a useless worker. Totally useless. To the Lord, his church, and your generation. You think he's standing as a fine usher that makes you a worker. And by the time I'm done with some of this, I'm going to say in these 30 days, there are some things that I'm going to say, maybe towards the end. Because many workers will stop being workers. Yes. If we run the analysis and you're not participating in evangelism, you are not going to be a worker or a leader in this place again. Without sentiment, we're going to remove you. Because you're very useless. You're a blessed child. Carrying the God life. A useless person. God should not have put that God life inside of you. Because you don't know what to do with it. Go win a soul. Yes. That's the reason for all of these things. This is the season. This is the season. This is the season. There was a season of my life that I was going for mission work to villages. That was my season. I did it for like 7 or 8 years. Every year. And till today, I still look back and wish those times can come back. But I know it will not come back. It will come back, but not in that form again. Yes, can never come back in that form again. So, there are things you must do now. Are you following me, friends? Must do now. There are souls you must win now. And let me talk to the ladies. There are things you must do now that you are single. Let me tell you this. When you begin to have children, you know, when people have children and they begin to drop back in their walk with God, they no longer participate in their departments or evangelism, and they think it's okay. Let me tell you what is happening. When you have children and you slow down your walk with God, it's just a proof that in the days of your singlehood, you didn't get the proper training. Yes. Because God knows that the time is going to come that you have kids, and having kids are demanding. So he wants to train you so well that even when that time comes, you'll be able to manage everything. So don't keep making excuses. I have a child and I can't go and preach. Why not? Why won't you go and preach? Put your child on your back and go preach the gospel. Yes. Well, I know many of us are close to marriage. And God will do it for you. And give you fine children. But the work should never slow down. Which is why you should get the training you need now. So that when the time comes, you now say, so it's overwhelming, no? And it's actually overwhelming. So God always prepares us for the future. If you miss that training now. Many of us are still at the lowest part of our career. At least all of you are at the lowest part of your career. Because you're going to go higher. But then, even at this lowest part, you can't show up for evangelism. You are missing a very serious training in your life. You are missing a very serious phase in your life. Because by the time everything settles in and you have all the money that you need, is it that time you will now come out? You won't. The discipline to respond to evangelism, you've not built it into yourself now. So you will not have it then. Whatever is not built into your life now, you cannot have in the future. That's the truth. A foolish young man will make a foolish old man. A lazy young man will make a lazy old man. So if you are not winning the lost now, even when you become wealthy, you will still not win the lost. Make up your mind that this long life that God is giving you, that you will spend every bit of it making your life count. Is someone following me this afternoon? This is the season. Jesus told them in John chapter 9 and verse 4. He told them, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. Are you following me? He said, for the night cometh when no man can walk, so that is night. Yes. So he's just trying to tell you that there are seasons in life. So what are you doing in this season of your life? For the Lord. Take it seriously. These days, we are doing many trainings. Let me pass you guys through something that you must have observed in this church. If you've been here for like 5 years. No, maybe not this church, just around my ministry. Every season, there is something the Lord begins to emphasize around us. Around 2014, 2015, 2016, the Lord put a lot of emphasis on the gospel of grace. Did you observe? New Christian realities. A lot of dangerous things happened that period. From 2017, the Lord began to bring a lot of emphasis on flowing in spiritual things. Did you observe that? 2017, 2018, 2019, begin to see tongues interpretation, all of that. Now, we see all those things too. But the Lord brings emphasis at different times. Whenever those things come, He's about to make an addition to your life. You must take it. In the past 2-3 years now, the emphasis has been on training. Training. Discipline. Training. Growth. Training. Take it.
Are you getting the point?
Training this for the future. Do you know why? Every season he passes us through prepares us for the next season. Because after this season of training, a time is going to come. You don't hear me say much of this. It will still be said, though. But then, if you're going to hear. So a ministry may get to a point where all that dealing with at that period is faith. Now, you just jump in and say, I enjoy, I receive faith. The foundation that you needed for that season was the previous season that you missed. You were just careless. Take your training seriously. Take your season seriously. There is time, there is season.
You know, one of the things that happened to Israel was that they didn't know the time of their visitation. Don't be like Israel. You're going to live long, but make every minute count. Are you following me? Make every second count for the Lord. That's the ultimate preservation. Because it doesn't only preserve your life, it gives the life you're living a meaning. It makes it worth it. It makes it enjoyable. Let me ask you a question. If in your account currently you have $100 billion, you're not a believer, you want to enjoy your life, how will you enjoy it? Practically, you buy houses. Or you live in only one. Right? Then you buy the latest cars. You tell them to customize one. All the way from... What's your dream company now? From Mercedes or maybe from BMW. Give me customize 5. That only me we have in the whole world. They customize it. You'll be driving one. It's one you drive now, Abi. But you're in one. Okay. Then you now decide as a man to be carrying women. You now have girlfriends all over the world. They'll be taking your money. You now pack different women. In your house, all of them will fill up everywhere. What else? You now be eating big food. Eat meat. What else? Eh? Traveling. Yes. You now go to Spain, go to Maldives, go to Greece. Then you travel. When you get there, what will you be doing? You go and see places, nice places. Before, with that kind of money you have, and more is coming, in 3 years, you've traveled to almost all the beautiful places that you want to go to. Or 5 years at most. Or 10 years. Then what follows? You start going around to those places you travel to again. My point is that with all the money, without purpose, life is boring. Yes. You may not know. Without purpose, it's just boring. Maybe your own, you want to be an academic genius. You get degree, masters, 2 masters, 3 masters, 4 masters. PhD. You become a professor in 3 different disciplines. Okay. You now know many things. I now speak big English. So I put it to you. Then after all of that, what has happened? What else will you now do? You now begin to look for how to confuse little children in secondary school by forming a theory. Does that have anything to do with your life? Sorry, I'm not against academic. That's actually what it is. When you study physics to a point, you don't know what to do. You say, let me come up with a theory. Because Odo's theory. Because you don't know what to do with your life again. At the end of the day, it's just a routine. But something makes life worth living. The fact that every day, There is a soul to minister to. There is a new case to handle. Have you seen people change their jobs? Because the job is not challenging. Yes. I know somebody that's earning very well. Say, I need to say why. It's boring. I just go there, sign some papers. I need somewhere I can do. I can walk. Some of you can never relate to that. But you can actually, when the time comes. You can't relate to it because all you're thinking about now is money. When everything is fine, all the money is there. But you just find out that all today, every morning, you carry your bag, go to the place, sit down, press computer. No real challenge. But here there is challenge. In ministry, challenge will pursue you outside. You come on a Monday. Someone that was serious on Sunday, no longer serious on Monday. A new challenge has shown up. We begin to pray. We hold that person. We watch the person grow. Another person joins church. You see them join as total drug addicts. You observe them. In 2 years, they are solid. What else is the joy of life? So it's an exciting thing every time for me. They come and I look around. I see, I know when this one came. Oh, these guys are doing so well. In the past 1 month, just this month, but this month alone, not even past 1 month, I've had to sit in the office with at least 3 people that have, just by coming here, quit internet fraud totally. Yes. One of them opened up to me, you know, I won't say everything because they're seeing you. The kind of journeys they made, diabolic things they did, things they ate and swallowed, and all of that. And just by coming around, I said, I'm done with that life. Yes. Now, what else is the fulfillment? You think I'm not happy? Even if I don't eat, I'll be looking this sharp, this fine. The joy it brings. Yes. And I'm trying to say to you, you can make your life worth living. It prolongs life. You just be happy. Just be happy and be going. That even when you are sick, you have a reason to want to recover. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Do you know some people die because they don't have a reason why they want to recover? You say, my kids are doing well. I think I've kept a lot of money for them. I've written my will. I beg. Let me just go and rest. They have nothing they're living for. But here, there is a lot to live for. And once you continue working with him, he will give you more things to live for. God never runs out of assignments. He said the harvest is plenteous. When you are done harvesting this side, they give another side to harvest. The work is enormous. Throw your life into this work. We will serve Jesus. I say we will serve Jesus. Stand the office, let's close. We will serve Jesus. And it can only get better. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands in this place and just make a commitment to Jesus.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.